frustrated with waiting times and the lack of scheduling information. We need to design a better experience. Any ideas?
Every single day, design graduates face situations that go beyond theory. That's why we teach our students to be creative thinkers, because creative thinking can be your superpower. ECU, creative thinkers made here. Search ECU and apply now.
This is a station sponsor.
At John Hughes Cherry, Prindleville Drive, Wangarra, you get a brand new, beautifully styled Cherry Emoto 5 with leather sports seats, alloy wheels, keyless entry, rear dynamic view camera, wireless Apple CarPlay, Android Auto and smartphone charging, a massive interactive LCD and plenty of active and passive safety features. Plus, you get a 7-year unlimited kilometre new car warranty, roadside assist and cat price servicing, all from $31,490. Hurry, they're selling fast.
johnhughes.com.au
DL6061.
The Community File.
Writing for the Disabled Capricorn Group is a not-for-profit organisation that has been operating in Pinjar area for over 10 years. They service the needs of the wider community, offering therapeutic horse riding lessons to people of varying abilities. RDA Capricorn is desperate for more volunteers. You don't need to have any experience with horses, as they offer training and other roles that are not horse-related, like gardening, cleaning, administration. There would be something for those handy people in the community. Lessons run Monday through Saturday, with the latter of which being their busiest day of the week. If you are 14 years or over and wish to have some horsey fun with their wonderful and diverse riders, please get in touch with the office via email office@rdacapricorn.com.au for more information. Volunteer induction days are available at the beginning of each term. You can also check them out at their Facebook page.
Proudly brought to you by 89.7 FM.
This report is brought to you by, well, it could be you. Contact the office of 89.7 FM to become a sponsor of this news report. This is 89.7 FM News.
National Radio News.
Good morning, I'm Liam O'Connell. Protesters have marched through the heart of Ballarat in regional Victoria to call for an end to male violence. More than 1,000 women and their allies rallied in the city following the deaths or disappearance of 3 women from the area since February. Police announced on Friday they were wrapping up their latest search for the body of Samantha Murphy, who has been missing for more than 2 months. Ms. Murphy's husband, Mick, told crowds at the march his family is grateful for the support they've received.
The support here behind the women. Ballarat's not usually like this. It's a beautiful, loving place. I've lived here all my life. So something you see that you don't think is correct, someone's doing something wrong, let someone else know. Let the authorities know.
Recent severe weather events have highlighted the need to review disaster funding support as the clean-up across northwestern Sydney continues. The federal MP for the Hawkesbury River and Eastern Blue Mountains, Susan Templeman, says concessional loans have been made available for flood-affected properties. However, she says current disaster funding does not extend to those isolated by severe weather events, such as those cut off by a landslide in the Megalong Valley.
We're going to have to look at special arrangements to see what can be done to give some financial support. And I don't know the answer to that, but I know I'm going to be advocating for it. How do we support? We're going to have to look at special arrangements to see what can be done to give some financial support. And I don't know the answer to that, but I know I'm going to be advocating for it. How do we support businesses who also may not have been flooded or suffered water damage, but as a consequence of these events are in real strife?
The number of rentals available on the market nationwide is continuing to hover below 1%, leading to widespread concern about a surge in homelessness. An essential report released on Friday described the housing system as broken, highlighting growing numbers of homes with no residents. Rental advocates have argued government investment is key to increase their usable supply. Speaking to Sky Television, spokesperson for Everybody's Home, May Aziz, says social housing is the key to free up supply.
The issue with supply in Australia is that it's actually been going pretty well. We've never had more homes per person than we do in Australia now. It goes up at every single census. The issue is that even when we add supply, housing just doesn't seem to get cheaper.
Victorian transport workers are taking a superannuation fund to court. The Rail, Tram and Bus Union has launched action against the Emergency and State Services Super, claiming they underpaid transport workers for more than a decade. The Super Fund says it's working with individual former employees, but will not accede to all of the union's demands. Union Branch Secretary Vic Sharma says people outside the union will also be affected by the decision.
Whoever's part of that transport fund, and if you fall within the category that we are arguing,
people should be entitled to, then you are affected.
The US resident has warned Iran any attack on Israel would not be in their interests. Intelligence agencies are warning Israel is under increasing risk this morning as Iran ramps up its rhetoric following the death of two of its top commanders earlier in the month. Australia has joined European countries and India in upgrading travel warnings to the Middle East. The US has also begun moving more military assets to the region, responding to the growing threat. Updating sport, and in the A-League, a last-minute scoring spree by MacArthur FC has seen the side get a leg up to defeat Adelaide 2-1 overnight. Nestroy Irinkunda led the scoring in the 20th minute, but United lost a man with 10 minutes to go, giving the visitors an opportunity to fight back.
National Radio News, produced by Charles Sturt University, the Community Radio Network, and supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation.
It's Saturday morning, and that means it's Talking Sport.
Yes, good morning and welcome to a brisk and fresh Saturday morning of Talking Sport. No, don't adjust that dial. It's not Clive Adams. Don't adjust that dial. It's not Max Wilson either. It's Cambo, Mark Campbell, sitting in the hot chair. But to talk 3 hours of sport this morning... with me, I've got Gordon Allen. How are you, Gordo?
Good, thanks, Cambo. How are you? Good morning, listeners. And what a great change yesterday with that rain.
Oh, came from nowhere.
Came from nowhere, didn't it? Even the Weather Bureau didn't.
And you'd be pretty happy at the moment. The West Tigers, did you know that West Tigers should get a new sponsor? They should get Kleenex. They're that far up the ladder, they're getting a nosebleed.
Is that right? Well, thank you so much. Well, let's hope they can continue this weekend.
And there's no party without Punch, the sex symbol of the septuagenarian set of the northern suburbs himself, Timmy Park. How are you, Timmy?
Good morning, Mark. I'm fired up and ready to go. I'm listening to you, but it would be fired up, wouldn't it?
Well, listen, no, your ears are bleeding, but you might need Kleenex. But,
you're making up for being absent last week, and we're getting two of you.
Yes. Oh, dear.
Tim, we'll carry him. We'll carry Cambo.
Something's got to do it, man.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, Timmy used to be in the fire brigade, so he's used to carrying people on his shoulders. So what have we got coming up? Well, I tell you what, if you've been living under a rock, it's golf, 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 and it's the Masters at Augusta National.
It's a big one.
So we're going to be talking about that. Then we've got John Herney coming on talking motorsport, and Brody Kostecki, not sure what he's doing, to be honest, but anyhow, there we are.
The only winners there will be the legal people.
Yes, plus Fernando Alonso signed for 3 more years. That's Aston Martin. You know the only good thing about Aston Martin was? It was in a James Bond movie. Only good thing about Aston Martin.
I'd like one.
Oh, yes, so would everybody. so we've got Sacco and Sacco for the NRL segment. He'll be happy because the Brisbane Bronx beat the Finns down to the Dolphins last night, Gordo.
28-14.
Yeah, beat them in half an hour.
14 minutes.
No. And the Storm. And Timmy, being the Storm supporter, you'd be ecstatic.
I am ecstatic because it's a game that they probably should have lost but still found a way to win.
So he'll have all of that covered. Basketball with Glenn Simpson, the NBL 1 West season continued last night and games today. Then we're going to go through a bit of a sports mix. We've got IPL cricket, if anybody cares. We've got rugby union, everybody cares about that. West Coast Fever, Super Netball, and everybody cares about that. And then we'll look at the waffle. And Max Wilson. Max Wilson's started getting the celebrations. He's got out the 1977 grand final poster, Gordo, because that was the last time Perth won a grand final. He's got that out. He dusted it off. He found it in the archives. So we're going to look at the waffle. Big Trev's tips, of course, and it's Derby Day out at Ascot today.
And he had a brilliant week last week. If you had a little... tipple on his tips last week, you were in the money.
We'd like to gamble responsibly. But,
of course.
You know, Clive's keeping he's not very well, Clive Adams, at the moment.
No, we're thinking about you, Clive.
Thinking about Clive.
We are, but he's got his dog tips and he kept them. Oh, so we haven't got any dog tips.
He didn't want to share them.
You're not suggesting he's gone to the dog, are you?
No, but he want to share his dog tips, that's for sure. Then our AFL expert, if you can find one, we'll talk about the AFL.
Go the Lions.
And the Lions are back.
Bounce back. Big
and
time.
If Essendon was a racehorse, he'd get rubbed out for 6 months for not trying, let me tell you. And then to finish us off, we've got soccer with Stephen Platt. But let's have a look. As I say, everything golf at the moment, it's the Masters, and I tell you what, Tiger Woods, 24 consecutive cuts he's made now. He has a record on his own with in front of Fred Couples and Gary Player, but and it's on at the moment too. So Bryson DeChambeau, Max Homer and Scottie Scheffler are currently all at six under Gordo.
Exactly. So they're three-way tussle at the top there. And, of course, as we know, Tiger Woods is a five-time winner as well. So you know, he's outstanding. And there's no doubt about that, Cambo. But Aussie Cameron Davis doing very well indeed.
Yeah, he's at minus three. I tell you what, there's some unusual ones at the top of the leaderboard, and there is some definitely some carnage going on down the bottom, just quietly.
Where's Cameron Smith?
Cameron Smith, oh, question me that. Notice he's at minus one. He's tied for eight. Xander Schauffele is at even at the moment. He hasn't started his second round yet because they all had all that sort of stuff going on as well. Patrick Cantlay's at plus two, Brooks Koepka's at plus two, and then you get into the good stuff. Shane Lowry's at plus three, Will Zalatoris is plus three, Phil Mickelson, Vijay Singh at plus four, Rory McIlroy, he reckons he was a big chance this year to win it, at plus four, so he's got a bit of work to do. Jason Day, unfortunately, is at plus four. Minwoo Lee.
With a broken finger.
Broke his finger. Mm. And he's at plus four.
I dropped a weight on it.
Yeah, while he was doing weights.
We shouldn't laugh.
Oh, we should because it's funny. But.
And Adam Scott, I think, ran about plus six as well. So he's still slightly in the mix. But I think the biggest story, two stories, previous winner John Rahm. He's tied for about 40th.
Yeah, he's struggling. And Adam Scott's at plus six.
Yeah.
Zach Johnson's at plus seven. The one that got me and made all hacker golfers so happy last night was Jordan Spieth. Get a nine on a par five. And all the hacker golfers around the world just rejoiced.
Well, these things happen.
And, of course, the tour, this is an LPGA event, and it's 13 LIV golfers competing in the event. And what I found phenomenal was the fact that one of those that I watched last night was actually wearing his LIV team shirt.
Oh, really?
Yes.
It's way past time that was sorted.
Did it have the team name on it?
It certainly did. He's from the Aces. There you go.
And Clive loves the team name.
Exactly right.
Because the team names are terrible, but anyhow, there you go.
But I just thought that was very interesting. I don't know how that would have been determined, but again, just a reflection on the split between the two at the moment. And, of course, LIV Golf will be in Adelaide on the 26th of April.
Oh, okay, so Adelaide's got everything. They've got Gathered Round and then they've got that. I tell you what, though, just quietly, the history of the Masters, because it's the only major that's played at the same course every year. Is just phenomenal.
Since 1934.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic.
Who won the first one, Gordo?
Lyle, I think it was a bloke by the name of Franklin.
And were you watching on the 18th?
No, I checked it on Wikipedia.
Timmy was watching the 18th. He was cheering in the putt on the 18th in 1934.
It's a fantastic golf event, though. It really is.
And just the way they started it, when they did the, what do they call it, the champions come up. Yep. Gary Player at 85.
Yeah, there's a lot to like about it, isn't there?
Yeah, 85. Jack Nicklaus was 83. And Tom Watson, he was only young. He was in his 70s compared to the others. But there's not a lot else going on in golf at the moment. And why would there be? Because this is the tournament. Don't you worry about that, the Masters.
And the LPGA, Nelly Korda won Las Vegas last week in a match play, but they've got a bye this weekend. They're off to Texas next weekend.
It's an amazing place that they always want to play match play at Las Vegas, isn't it?
Yes, well, truly. Wonder what you do with your winnings.
Well, I was just thinking that it's a good thing match play, because if you get beat early, you can go to you're in Vegas anyway.
Exactly.
So, yep, so currently we've got live update here. We've got Bryson DeChambeau still at minus six and Max Homer is minus one for the round. So he's still at minus six. So that's going as we speak.
They must be just at the end of the day, are they? Is that right?
No, they'll be halfway through, I reckon. Halfway through the afternoon. And Ludvig Åberg, he looks okay. He's at minus two. So he was going all right, Åberg, just quietly. But he's minus three for the second round. So everything going on at the Masters, it's a fantastic tournament. The only drawback is I'm not there, I'm here. But no, I wouldn't say that out loud.
But do you see when they let the people into the course, they have a rule, there's no running. You can walk briskly, yeah. But you can't run to get to your viewing spot. It's fantastic to watch.
And, yeah. I love it where, I tell you what though, just quietly, they must be the best supporters of a sporting event ever.
You're probably right. Because that's in general.
They have set spots where they can go and players can mingle through, but they don't cross over the players' lines when they're walking through or any. Oh, it's amazing. And then you get the Amen Corner Amen and they corner. Go they go berserk.
Fantastic golf.
Oh, but we digress. Hey, Gordo, you must have a song there from the Gordon Allen collection, I would have thought.
Yes, I've got Billy Joel coming up and I thought it would be very appropriate, A Matter of Trust.
Yeah, well, hey, after what I've seen in the rugby league at the moment, jeepers, what's going on there? But we'll get Sacco on a little bit later on to tell us what's going on because it's an amazing thing. So we're going to go off to our, what have we got?
Matter of Trust. Matter of Trust.
Yeah, first break, Matter of Trust by Billy Joel from the Gordon Allen Collection and our all-important sponsors' messages. And when we come back, we'll have John Herney talking motor racing.
Wrapped up.
And with about Brody Kostecki, he'll definitely be revved up. He'll have his engine going on four cylinders. Play the song, Gordo.
The City of Joondalup's Customer Service Centre make it easy for you to pay your rates, dog registration and infringement notices, plus receive information on other city services. The centre is located at Joondalup and is open during business hours Monday to Friday.
Have you ever wanted to look at the stars up close? Well, now you can. Station sponsor the Gravity Discovery Centre will open a whole new world of amazement for you. Located north of Perth, just off Indian Ocean Drive, the Gravity Discovery Centre has something for everyone, with a great range of attractions. Climb the Leaning Tower, explore the Cosmology Gallery, get up close in the Biodiversity Gallery, and take in the marvels of the Milky Way at the Observatory. For more information, bookings and tickets, go to gravitycentre.com.au.
If you marked an X on the map of Perth for every investment property managed by Exceed Property Management, there'd be so many X's you'd be hard-pressed to read the map. That's because station sponsor, Exceed Real Estate, are one of Perth's largest and most successful property managers. Exceed delivers exceptional service, excellent performance, and extraordinary reliability. In property management, X means Exceed Real Estate. Life is better with Exceed.
On 89.7, Talking Sport from 8 to 11 a.m. Saturdays.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Too much reasons, I know you have.
It's Saturday morning, and that means it's Talking Sport.
Welcome back to Talking Sport, and Cambo in the hot chair with Gordon Allen and Tim Park, and on the line to talk all things motorsport, John Herney. Good morning, John, and what's going on with Brody Kostecki, mate?
Morning, John.
Oh, look, good morning, folks. I must admit I'm a little bit behind the news on this one. Apparently it's been announced that Erebus Racing Team are taking some kind of legal action against Brody because they've lost because of the loss of sponsorship or something. It was announced a couple of days ago that he was back and driving for them in New Zealand.
Yep.
And indeed he tested with them at Winton Raceway in Victoria Thursday, just gone. So where this one's come from and how it's going to play out, heaven only knows. This is just, frankly, beyond bizarre. Sorry, it's just ridiculous.
Exactly.
You know, this is doing enormous harm to the sport.
Yep.
Because this guy is an absolute superstar. He's a reigning champion. And, you know, we were all very pleased and excited to hear that he was going to be driving in New Zealand. So I don't know what this latest development means, to be frank.
Well, I tell you what, Todd Hazlewood would be a bit upset, wouldn't he? He was driving in Kostecki's place. Now he goes back to endurance co-driver.
Well,
thanks,
mate.
See you later.
Well, I think he always knew that would happen. And, you know, the guys still get paid really well to be the endurance driver. So I don't think he'd be too upset. He wouldn't be surprised to hear that. But I'm, you know, very saddened to hear that this latest development about this legal action supposedly against him.
Surely it's just about become untenable for Kostecki to stay there, surely.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, but he only made the announcement was only made earlier, this week just gone, that he was actually coming back.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's very upsetting and, you know, we're all terribly excited because the next supercar round in Australia is here in Perth.
Oh, okay. There you go. So they go from New Zealand to Perth. Gee, a lot of travel.
Correct. Yeah, a lot of air freight because they air freight the cars to New Zealand.
Yeah.
So, I can't really comment any more on that. It's very upsetting.
Hey, but John, how will Brody go? He's starting two races behind in the point score table as well.
I don't think that'll be a big deal.
It won't make any difference.
I think you'll find he'll make up, provided the car's up to it. I think he's still got every chance at the championship. There's another 10 rounds to go. I'd say he'd still be in with a shot if he actually does it. But I just can't understand how he could possibly drive for the team when they're suing him for loss of sponsorship. It just escapes me, but anyway. Yeah.
It just doesn't make any sense, does it?
No, it's bizarre. Speaking of all things to do with drivers, the Formula One drivers market is quite interesting at the moment because Fernando Alonso has just signed for another 2 years for Aston Martin. His contract runs out at the end of this year. Now, the thing about that is that there's been speculation, and indeed Fernando feels a little bit himself, that he may actually not want to drive Formula One beyond the end of this year. And there was a lot of speculation that Carlos Sainz, who's clearly the form man for Ferrari at the moment and doesn't have a job next year in racing, is that he would slot into that Aston Martin seat. But obviously Fernando's got his name all over it. So at this stage, Carlos Sainz still doesn't have a ride for next year.
Where do you think, have you heard, or does it appear likely that he'll get one somewhere?
Oh, unquestionably, you know. I mean, the guy's, he's the only bloke who's won a Grand Prix lately except Max Verstappen.
And he ain't going anywhere, is he?
No, I mean, you know, some people are saying, oh, well, he'll get Sergio Perez's seat at Red Bull, and I think there's a chance for that, but Sergio's gone pretty well this year. I think there's... I'd be surprised if Sergio keeps going the way he's been going, like finishing second and to Max and stuff like that, they'll keep him. Because, I think that's a bit of a long shot for Saints. He is being pressed hard by Audi, who are coming into Formula One with the currently the Sauber team. They basically own the Sauber team now. They're coming in 2026, and they're putting a lot of pressure on him to sign for them now. But, you know, that would mean driving the Sauber car next year, which is, with the greatest respect, the back-of-the-grid car at the moment.
Yep.
And presumably it won't go all that well in their first year in 2026 either. So if he does sign with Audi, it won't be a big check, because he's consigning himself to an uncompetitive drive for 12 to 24 months, in my estimation. So, yeah, the other spot is Mercedes, but there's this really weird situation there. Obviously, Lewis Hamilton has left them to go to Ferrari. They've got George Russell long-term, and he obviously performs very well. The issue for them is that the guy that who's the team boss at Mercedes is very keen on a young Italian guy, Antonelli, who's racing Formula 2 at the moment. He's absolutely blitzed all the junior categories he's gone in. He's being spoken about in quietly as the next Max Verstappen. But he's really undercooked at the moment. He's only done a couple of Formula 2 races and hasn't really gone that well in them, although he's definitely showing signs of absolute brilliance. Very, very steep learning curve to stick him into a Formula 1 car next year, especially when Mercedes are struggling a little. Sainz could sign for them, but it's only going to be a short-term thing. So, poor old Carlos is in not a good situation. He really isn't, and he's actually come out and said himself that he really wants a ride and he wants it arranged soon. And don't blame him.
And where does that leave someone like Sebastian Vettel, who could come out of retirement?
I doubt that. If Seb comes out of retirement, a little bit of race sports cars. He had a big test in France just recently with the factory Porsche team run by Penske from America, and said he really, really enjoyed it and did a lot of miles with the car. I reckon if he's coming back, that's where he'll go, into sports car racing. A lot of guys prefer sports car racing because the thing is, there's only 9 or 10 events a year, so it's not your entire life either in a car or on a jet airliner, which is what Formula One's like at the moment.
But with the
24 events listed next year.
But with the lure of being a Niki Lauda or a Schumacher or a Raikkonen, surely that would give Sebastian Vettel a little bit of a, I might just do it just for that.
No, I don't think so.
No?
I'd be surprised. I'd be surprised. But, you know, anything and everything can happen in Formula One. Now, of course, just wanted to mention locally, there's a race meeting at Perth Motorplex tonight, Nitro Funny Cars, and we've got the second round of the State Motor Racing Championships at Carco Raceway this weekend, run by the WA Sporting Car Club, of course. So it's a two-day race meeting. So we'll be getting underway here in about half an hour. So today we've got the Excels kicking off the Honda Excel field, kicking off the race meeting. Got some great entries for the Excels, big grid. And in particular, we also have a really good entry today for the saloon cars. We've got over 20 of them. And really, really looking forward to that. That's very, very competitive motor racing. So as ever, the place is still looking a little bit damp up here, but the track's ready to go. And in fact, the track will be really clean and quick because all the rain we had up here yesterday will have got all the dirt and dust off the track, which we've had from the strong winds we've had over the last few weeks. So you're all
so does that. So does that help when it rains up there? Does it, John?
Look, yeah, it does. When we've had a long period of dry, it's a bit like the public roads. You know, the roads are really slippery. When after it's been a long dry spell, when we get a little bit of rain, it's like a skating rink. And some of the public roads are probably still like that. But here, it absolutely came down in buckets yesterday. So the track, there'll be a bit of sand and stuff on it in a few places where it got washed on. But basically, I think the track will be lovely and clean and really quick.
Yeah, okay. So who's your tip, John?
Oh.
Have you got a tip? Are you racing in it, by the way?
No, I'm not driving this weekend. Hopefully back about June, I should be back on track. Look, a wide range of cars to watch out for. The best thing is going to be the saloon cars, in my opinion. We've got last year's state champion, and another new young driver, Jason Callow, who has been spectacular so far this year, and Mason Harvey, who won the state championship last year. He and Jackson have been having a great tussle both here and at Collie, where there's been a race meeting as well already this year. I'm really looking forward to seeing how those guys go. They're both really, really good young drivers. Of course, Mason Harvey is also contesting the Aussie Race Car Series nationally, and we'll see him racing here at the Supercar meeting here in the middle of May. So, yeah, probably the thing to watch for me today is probably the best racing, I reckon, will be the saloon cars and then probably the Hyundai Excels.
And what's your role up there today, John? You got anything on?
I'm commentating today.
You're commentating?
Yeah.
So you yell when they come around the corner, or do you wait for a crash or something? How do you commentate the car racing?
Oh, easily. We've got CCTV. We can see what's going on all around the track. And yeah,
it's good.
Excellent.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I've done
it for many years amongst many other things.
Very good. Well
done,
John.
Good on you, John.
Yeah. Okay, guys. We'll talk to you next week.
Catch up with you the next week.
Bye, mate.
Okay. Bye. See you, fellas.
John Herney there, and I'll tell you what, commentating racing cars, that'd be interesting, wouldn't it? They go around the circuit. That's amazing, is the ones over in America where they only turn left. How do you commentate that, make it interesting, at the Daytona, until something crashes?
Until someone crashes.
Which happens regularly.
Literally.
Oh, dear me. I tell you what, we're going to go off to our next song from the Gordon Allen Collection, and then our all-important sponsors break, and then we've got NRL with John Saxon. I'll tell you what, Sacco will be happy because the Bronx beat the Dolphins 28-14 last night. 5-3, Timmy.
Yeah, they were half an hour too good for the opposition.
What, the Dolphins start half an hour late?
No, Dolphins had to sleep for half an hour.
Oh, did they? All right, Gordo, what have you got coming up?
We're going to listen to Free with All Right Now.
Okay, and then we'll have...
Because that's All Right Now, because the Broncos won, so Sacco's happy.
I tell you what, though, just quietly, the West Tigers are coming up today. And I said this on my show yesterday. Surprisingly, that could be the game of the round.
Against the Dragons at Campbelltown tomorrow?
Which is...
we'll see.
I wouldn't call it that, but it could be interesting.
Could be interesting.
Yeah, I tell you what. And for Max Wilson, who's listening at home, we'll be talking about your Manly Sea Eagles, who are eighth. I can't believe they're that high either. And the Warriors are sixth. But anyhow, let's go off to the song, Gordo. And when we come back, we'll have John Saxon, the CEO of Rugby League WA, to talk all things rugby league.
When it comes to kids' sport, parents have lots of questions. Like, how much will it cost? Will my kid get to play with their friends? How often do you train? And do I have to volunteer? But there's one question every parent should ask. What does the club have in place to make sure my kid's protected? Don't take child safety at your club for granted. Find the important questions at playbytherules.net.au and start to talk.
No matter how big or small you are, 89.7FM has a sponsorship package catered to you. For more information on what we can offer or customise, go to 89.7FM.com.au.
Ever wondered what it's like to be on a radio station, be a part of a great team, or even on your own radio show? Have your voice heard across the city of Joondalup, Wanneroo and Stirling, surrounding suburbs and streaming online? Why don't you head over to www.897fm.com.au and become a member today? And best of all members are welcome. See you soon.
Every Friday, 12 till 3, it's the Friday free-for-all with Cambo. What's the show about? It's a Seinfeld show. The show about nothing, but he has great fun doing it. Fridays, 12 till 3, only on 89.7 FM.
More classics on 89.7 FM.
Hey, what is this? Now, baby, maybe
Saturday morning, and that means it's Talking Sport.
Welcome back to Talking Sport. Yes, it's Cambo in the hot seat with Gordon Allen and Tim Park this morning. And I tell you what, it's all right now because the Bronx got the win last night. And to tell us all about it is the biggest Bronx fan in WA, John Saxon. How are you, Sacco?
Morning, John.
Hey, Cambo. Good to have you in the seat there, mate.
Well, who else is going to give you a rap like that, Sacco? Let's be honest.
Yeah, well, certainly Max wouldn't. So
yeah, exactly.
No, guys. Look, terrific win last night to the Bronx. 28 points to 14 over their crosstown rivals, the Dolphins.
Dolphins went to sleep for half an hour, John.
Well, they did, and it was about 14 minutes, Timmy. 14 minutes, and the Broncos scored four tries in that second half. But it was only 6-4 at halftime too to the Broncos. So. The Battle of Brisbane was alive and well at half time, and but as you alluded to, there was just that short period of time where the Dolphins they did go to sleep, and the Broncos just capitalized. The Broncos proved yet again: you make any mistakes against the Broncos, you're going to, more often than not, you're going to pay for it, and we saw. A couple of opportunistic tries from Cobbo. He scored a double. Yep. Last night. Willison, one of the biggest men physically playing in the NRL, young guy coming through the Broncos ranks. He scored a try just out of brute strength close to the line. Yeah. Mm. Oates scored a try to redeem himself from a few previous errors that he had made in the game, but he did score a good try off a Ezra Mamm cutout pass. Walsh, of course.
Length of the field.
You know, talk about the pace in this Brisbane back line. These guys get just a little bit of room to move. They're very, very hard to stop. And great to see Walsh back on the paddock after missing the last three games, I think, now.
A few wayward passes, but really a good return for him.
Yeah, a little bit rusty. One thing about Walsh, I mean, he always tries. He always challenges that defensive line. And, yes, he did make a couple of errors, a couple of wayward passes, Timmy, but just great to see him back on the paddock. Yeah. And also, as I mentioned, well, Cobbo, he scored two tries, and he's settling into that centre position really, really well. For the Dolphins, three tries, Wallace, Bostock and Asako, but the Broncos, they overcame that slow start to really finish with a blitz in that second half. And also, just a big shout-out to their skipper, Pat Carrigan. Guys, he had an outstanding game, and it's just good to know that Payne Huss is yet to come back into this side. He can't be too far away.
Harrington miles in front in the yards, wasn't he?
Yes, he was, but the injury to the hammer.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, it's a good point there, Gordy. 20 minutes into the game, one of the true superstars and one of the most exciting attacking fullbacks in the game, Hammerside Tabuai Fido, a.k.a. the hammer, he went off... with what's reported to be a hammy injury. I think that's when he tried to chase down Corey Oates. Corey ran the length of the field, basically, but the referee called it back. Anyway,
he injured himself. He injured himself while he was doing it. It was an amazing thing.
Yeah, it was, Cambo. But it's a shame because we're going to miss Hammer. The Dolphins are going to miss Hammer for probably 2 to 3 weeks with that hammy injury. It is a shame to see that, some of these superstars when they do get injured. But the Broncos, another victory to the Bronx, and from my perspective, really great to see.
and of course, John, the West Tigers did soften the Dolphins up last week.
Oh, no.
Assisted the Broncos.
So anyhow, Sacco, don't worry about these West Tigers supporters. Sacco, West Tigers, I said this earlier, but I haven't told you yet. West Tigers are looking for a new sponsor for this season. They're going to get Kleenex because they're up so high on the ladder, they're getting a nosebleed.
Hey, I hope you're not in swinging distance of Gordy there.
No, I'm on his left side. It's all right.
I'm in between them, John. It's all right.
But the round started on Thursday night, and we had the Roosters 22 over the Knights 20 at McDonald Jones Stadium.
It was a good game, wasn't it? It was.
Yeah, guys, it was. And I must confess, from the get-go, I reluctantly... tipped the Knights.
Yes.
It was one of those toss of a coin ones because you just knew that the Roosters were going to sort of strike back. Coming into this game, actually, the Knights had won 8 of their past 9 up there at Mac Jones Stadium in Newcastle, and the Roosters had won 12 of their past 14 against the Knights. The Roosters were, of course, without Tedesco and Walker, their halfback, both out with concussion protocols. So you sort of thought that the Knights might just be good enough to do it up there at home. But not to be, guys. The Knights, the Roosters, I should say, 22, a two-point victory over the Knights. The Knights scored 3 tries, Hastings, Best and Elliott. And the Roosters, 4 tries. Tupou got a double. Mm-hmm. Radley. And I must make a special mention of Brandon Smith's try, because it's a moment in the game that the Knights will rue, because basically their defence went to sleep. They turned their back on the play the ball situation, where Brandon Smith is a specialist. He sniffed out that they were asleep, and he ran from dummy half for about 20 metres roughly, went over the line untouched. And if you're Coach O'Brien, you would be absolutely furious, because that's where I thought. I mean, you could probably draw it back to that particular try that proved extremely costly to the Knights. Otherwise, perhaps they could have won it. But also talking about injuries to fullbacks, superstar fullbacks. Ponga was almost a passenger in the first half with what's turned out to be a hip injury. He must have got an injection or something in half time, because he did come out and did have impact.
He definitely had
impact in that second half. But when Kalyn Ponga is playing well and he is fit and firing, they are a very, very competitive side, the Knights. But
I agree.
But look, the Roosters, full credit to them. They
Joey Manu.
Yep.
Good point, Gordy. Joey Manu, I don't know what he ended up running for, probably close to 200 metres, I think, but he had an outstanding game, set up a couple of try assists, and he is just a wonderful player. I think he was playing at fullback, wasn't he?
Yes.
Replacing Tedesco, and he's such a versatile player, be it at fullback, be it in the centres. Just a great player, Manu. But look, the Roosters got the points up there, and a good victory considering the circumstances.
And in the other game last night, because there was another game last night, Sacco, I know you don't know about it, but there was another game last night. This one put a smile on Barbara Park's face, because Timmy was in a good mood. The Storm beat the Bully 16-14.
No, I get into trouble for shouting at the television.
Well, I reckon Timmy would have been chewing the nail.
Oh, my God. It's a game that my team should have lost, but they didn't. That's testament to them.
Timmy, talk about, I mean, they are, this season, they are the get-out-of-jail specialists.
Mm. Making it a habit.
I mean, going back a few weeks ago, in the last minute of the game against at home in Melbourne against the Warriors, of course, Xavier Coates scored that try of the century, or whatever you want to term it, a miraculous try to put paid to the efforts of the Warriors, who I thought were the better team that night. Then, of course, Brisbane. They beat Brisbane last week, 34-32. And now the Dogs, 10-0 the Storm led at half time. The Dogs fought back
to
Josh Adokar, still got the amazing speed and skill.
Yep.
Scored a hat trick. The Storm, Timmy's boys got out of jail 16-14. Pappenhausen is on report for a hip drop tackle.
It's an interesting one, John, isn't it? It's very difficult for the players, isn't it? I mean, there was no intent in it, I didn't think.
I still don't understand it, Timmy. To be honest with you, someone said, should he have been on report? I really don't know. I'm so confused about hip drop tackles. You get a player like Pappenhausen who in defence brought a player down. He didn't have any intention to create any form of injury for the player. I'm not sure who it was. It may have been Adokar, but But he goes on report, and I'm still confused about hip drop tackles and how they determine what is legal and what's illegal.
Going back several years, players will be shaking their heads saying, what do we have to do?
Well, John, it happened to the West Tigers 5-8, and he got 2-game suspension for doing exactly the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he plays, for, plays for the West Tigers. That's automatically 1 week suspension before he starts.
Victimised.
Oh, the boy, I'll tell you what, the violins are out.
Oh, yeah. You can hear them from...
That tissue box out for Gordy.
Yeah, I've got it, mate. I've got the extra large ones too.
Hey, Sacco, just quickly then, either Tuala or Marzu, the wingers from the Newcastle Knights, at the end of the game, I don't know whether, I'll just go back quickly, both of those wingers should be doing a couple of 400 metres this week after not supporting Ponga when they could have won the game in the 80th minute.
That's a good point.
Well, absolutely, absolutely. Ponga, he looked around for some support. Yep. And again, the Knights went to sleep. In fact, there was even an example of that last night, I think, with Oates in the Broncos game too, where perhaps another try may have been scored. Look, it is what it is, and I'm sure that's the job of the coaches to play the videos back and highlight the errors. And hopefully the players learn from it.
And today, Sacco, moving on to today's game, we've got the Warriors, who are in sixth position, are playing the Sea Eagles, the Manly Sea Eagles, in eighth position in Auckland. I'll tell you what, the Manly Sea Eagles have some frequent fly points, wouldn't they? They've been to Vegas, now they're going to Auckland.
That's right. They're travelling to Auckland against a red-hot Warriors side. Both teams posted impressive wins last round, I must say. Manly defeated the high-flying Premiers, Penrith, at Four Pines Park in Manly, and the Warriors were too strong for the struggling Rabbitohs. We'll talk about them in a sec. But the Wars, well, they're hitting form and consistency, guys. They've won their past three games off the back of the efforts of a really dominant forward pack and some red-hot backs, particularly Sean Johnson, who's just playing amazing footy at halfback.
Yep.
And we know they've got a speedy and highly talented back line. For Manly, Ben Trbojevic, he moves into the centres to replace Ruben Garrick, who's out with concussion protocol. And the Wars, they welcome back Kurt Catewell from concussion, and also Dallin Watini-Zelezniak, who loves scoring tries. Guys, I'm tipping New Zealand to make it four on the trot.
Timmy?
In New Zealand, I think it'll be a really close game, but I just have to go with the Kiwis because they're at home.
Warriors in New Zealand.
Yeah, and the Sea Eagles got their heads in the clouds, so I'm going the Warriors as well.
Bad luck, Max.
The Eels are in 14th position of playing the Cowboys in second. Sacco.
This is interesting.
Cambo, this will be a very interesting game. It is at Combank Stadium, which we know the Eels love playing at home, and they have a really good track record there. The Cows, currently in second place. The Eels continue to struggle with after the loss of their superstar halfback, Mitch Moses. Well, they're going to have to get used to it because he's out for about 12 weeks.
Yep.
They lost to Gordy's Tigers a couple of weeks ago, and then they got hammered 41-8 by the Raiders in Canberra last Sunday. So some real issues there for Coach Brad Arthur. The Cowboys, well, they survived a late scare from the winless Titans up there in Townsville to move into third position at the time. I think they're sitting in second now. But Coach Todd Payton, he'd be very concerned by the defensive lapses of the Cows, which has seen them leak 60 points in their past two games. Now, for the Cows, Tom Chester comes into the centres to replace the in-form Zach Lay, but he's got an ACL injury, so I think he'll be out long-term. And that's the only change to the Cows. It's the same 17 that defeated the Titans. For the Eels, Brad Arthur has got the axe out. He's dropped Mako Sivo, Wiramu Greg, and also the rookie Blaze Talungi. That sees Morgan Harper come back into the centres, Bailey Simonson onto the wing, and Dejan Asi for his first NRL game this season at 5'8". Also, Cartwright comes in. He's a big in for the Eels. But, guys, I'm tipping the Eels to get back into the winners' list.
Timmy?
I've got my circle on the Eels. I think they'll bounce back.
And I'm sticking with the Cowboys with Wayne Bennett's spectre hovering over Brad Arthur. More unsettling. I'm going for the Cowboys.
See, that all scuttlebutt. I'm just going to go for the Eels because they're playing at home. Hey, we'll just get a quick tip, Sacco, for the next games. Rabbits versus Sharks.
Who's coaching the Rabbits?
I don't think the Cows will be the Rabbitohs will be good enough. I'm tipping the Sharks.
Timmy?
Oh, if the Sharks are fighting Rabbits, I'd go Sharks every day of the week.
Will the Rabbits do it for Jason? Will they do it for Christian Wolf? Will they do it for Wayne Bennett? Will they do it for Mel Meninga? Who knows, Sacco? Unanswered questions.
Yeah, Sharks for me.
Good point, God.
Sunday's games, the West Tigers are playing the Dragons. Not even going to bother to ask Gordo about this one. Who are you tipping, Sacco?
Well, Gordy's going to be very pleased with me because I'm tipping the Tigers at Campbelltown.
Oh, see, you've reneged on it, Sacco.
They're all jumping on the Tigers bandwagon.
Yeah, yeah. I'm definitely on Tigers as well because I think they can win that one.
No, I'm going the Dragons. Come on, someone's got to keep the Tigers at bay. The Raiders are playing the Titans on Sunday. Yep.
Down there in Canberra, the Titans are winless. I saw there's a video floating around of an absolute X-rated spray from Dan Tasman to his Titans in the dressing rooms after last week's game. Something to behold. But, guys, the Raiders for me over the Titans. I think the Titans are, I don't know when they're going to get their first win.
Who could pick the Titans? A green machine for me.
Raiders.
Yeah, Raiders for me. And Penrith have the bye. Now, in local stuff, local rugby, Sacco, what have we got? Last week was the first start of the season.
Yeah, guys, I went up to North Beach to see...
Had the nose in the trough again, Sacco.
Yeah, well... it was just a Saturday afternoon, with the footy.
Yeah, right? You were working, Sacco, you were working.
Yeah, Saturday afternoon.
I was working and up there for the big rematch of the 23 grand final, and fantastic to see a huge crowd up there too. It was great to see that, such a big crowd. Good game of footy. I must say, I was really impressed by the North Beach side, particularly in round one. Normally sides come out pretty clunky, pretty rusty, and maybe a bit short of a run, but I thought Beach, young side, fast, physical, played very, very well to win that game against the Frio Roosters, who were a little bit slow in round one, I thought, but they're a champion side. They'll turn things around. It's only round one. In the other game, it was a 26-all draw, actually, between the Joondalup Giants, who were hosting the South Perth Lions. And this week, guys, in the field to go and play Premiership, we see Rockingham Sharks playing their first game of the season. They had the bye last week. They're hosting the Joondalup Giants at 3:30 down there at Lark Hill, Port Kennedy. And the South Perth Lions, I'll be popping down there to George Burnett Reserve down there, who are taking on North Beach Seagulls. That is also at 3:30 p.m. And also, guys, just to let you know, the Westpac Women's Premiership, that starts on the 3rd of May. And the juniors' season kicks off on the 5th of May. But also today, of course, we've got the Val Murphy Trophy games at both Lark Hill and also at George Burnett. And also the Women's League Tag continues. So that season is up and running as well in the League Tag competition.
Good stuff. Good on you, Sacco, mate. Once again, obviously for the Dolphins, it was fins down. But for the Bronx, they're flying high. And we'll put up with Gordo and his West Tigers. Don't you worry about that. Talk to you next week, mate.
See you, Sacco.
All right, cheers, guys. John. All the best. Have a great weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
John Saxon there, the rugby league aficionado from everywhere. We're off to the news, and when we come back, we'll have Glenn Simpson talking all things basketball. You're listening to Talking Sport right here on 89.7 FM.
Station sponsor.
This is a must-win game, and she's our star player. But if she's not performing at her peak, we can't risk it. What do the stats say? Do you think she's match fit?
Every single day, exercise and sports science graduates face situations that go beyond theory. That's why we teach our students to be creative thinkers, because creative thinking can be your superpower. ECU, creative thinkers made here. Search ECU and apply now.
When it comes to kids' sport, parents have lots of questions, eh? Like, how much is going to cost? Will my kid get to play with their mates? How often do they train? And do I have to volunteer? But there's one question every parent should ask. What does the club have in place to make sure that my kid's safe and protected? Don't take child safety at your club for granted. Find the important questions at playbytherules.net.au and start to talk.
What you hear on community radio is governed by the Community Radio Codes of Practice. The codes cover matters relating to program content, including local content, news, current affairs, Australian music content, programs for children, and the responsibilities associated with broadcasting to the community. They also cover aspects such as community access and participation in the operation of this service. Copies of the codes are available from the Community Broadcasting Association website, www.cbaa.org.au.
Are you a small business owner looking for growth within the City of Stirling? Then why not become a member of the Stirling Business Association? Their professional team can assist you in all aspects of your business. To find out more, simply search Stirling Business Association.
We can offer sponsorship packages that are cheaper than your addiction to coffee. For more information, go to 897fm.com.au and contact sales.
This is 89.7 FM News.
National Radio News.
Hello, I'm Liam O'Connell. An Australian aid worker who was shot at by Israeli forces in Gaza says the indiscriminate shooting has made their job nearly impossible. Tess Ingram was part of an aid convoy this week who was shot at while heading north to distribute food and medicine to some of the hardest hit parts of the Strip. The Israeli military has since apologised for the incident. Speaking to Channel 7, Tess Ingram says restricted aid corridors have made delivering aid north treacherous.
Know that children there are dying from malnutrition, which has to be unacceptable to the world. No one should die of hunger, let alone in a place where food and aid is available just a few kilometres away, but we just can't bring it to these kids.
The clean-up has begun in some Perth suburbs after flooding impacted on Friday evening. Flash flooding was recorded in some suburbs in the city's north, and emergency services had to rescue people who were trapped in their vehicles. Floodwaters have now receded, but businesses are reporting heavy rains also damaged roofs, and they saw water pouring through ceilings. The thunderstorm was not forecast and was initially predicted to stay offshore before moving further south. Overseas, in the US state of Arizona has banned all pregnancy terminations, upholding laws dating back to 1864. Across the US, an estimated 18 million people now don't have access to abortion procedures legally. US Vice President Kamala Harris says political rival Donald Trump is to blame for overturning Roe v. Wade precedent by appointing conservative judges to the country's highest court.
Donald Trump is the architect of this healthcare crisis.
Yes, he is.
And that is not a fact, by the way, that he hides. Yeah. In fact, he brags about it. Just this week, he said that he is, quote, proudly the person responsible for overturning Roe.
The Trump campaign has issued a statement saying the former president did not support a national abortion ban. Back home, and Qantas has redirected flights between Perth and London over concerns of instability around Iran's and Israel's airspace. The flights are normally run non-stop, but will now operate with a layover in Singapore indefinitely. Qantas says the situation in Iranian airspace could deteriorate quickly and result in cancellations or disruptions. A federal climate body says more emissions reductions could be possible if all sectors of society are willing to do more. The analysis from the Climate Change Authority has found deeper cuts to transport emissions and reductions in deforestation could allow some states to surpass their 2035 emissions targets. It comes as the final work begins to determine Australia's 2035 emissions target, which will be agreed on in the coming months before being announced next year. The Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris is set to open again later this year after more than 5 years of renovation. The iconic spire was among the structures destroyed by flames, which took hold of the cathedral in 2019. The renovation has cost more than $1 billion, the majority of the funds donated by wealthy foreigners. The building's former chief priest, Patrick Charest, says it's been a nationally unifying project.
The fire has certainly shown an almost emotional attachment. First of all, Parisians, but also French people and beyond French people, an international dimension. I realised that it was no longer Notre Dame of Paris. It was simply Notre Dame.
The translation courtesy of the BBC. And Haiti's government has issued a decree formalising the creation of a 9-member transitional presidential council. The move is designed to rein in out-of-control gang violence across the island nation, which has seen large tracts of land fall under exclusive gang control.
National Radio News, produced by Charles Sturt University, the Community Radio Network, and supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation.
It's Saturday morning, and that means it's Talking Sport.
Welcome back to Talking Sport. Hopefully you're enjoying the show and you're having a nice little cup of coffee or a cup of tea or whatever your taste is. On the line now to talk all things basketball, the best commentator, the best special comments man north of the freeway in Glenn Simpson. How are you, Simo?
Crikey, Cambo, thanks for that. But yeah, morning.
Hey, I'll blow up your tyres. Don't you worry about that and throw you under a bus at the same time.
Thank you very much.
Was not on the bus to Kalgoorlie.
Yeah. Well, no, you're not.
Big trip, isn't it, Glenn?
Didn't make the cut, Tim, unfortunately. But
although you might have been, although you might have been going up to, in a helicopter and then charging it back to the Wolves.
Well, it'd be nice, but yeah. Now let's cover off on last week's games, gents. So the Wolves took on the Southwest Slammers. We mentioned last week the Southwest Slammers women's team have had a fairly tough schedule for their first couple of games. They've taken on an absolutely stacked Rockingham team, and then they took on the last year's running champions Coburn last weekend in a doubleheader, and then had to travel up to from Bunbury up to Joondalup and take on the Wolves. And a little bit fatigued there, showed, and the result was a fairly comfortable 85-45 win for the Joondalup Wolves. And still a few players to come into the, in fact, about four players to come back into that Joondalup Wolves team, and potentially four of them being starters. So some good signs for the Wolves, just getting the job done nicely at the moment, waiting for those other troops to come in. But Darren Huff, one of the new imports for the Joondalup Wolves, had a good game, 19 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists and 3 steals there. So that's a fairly polished game. And Sarah Toena, again, another good game for her with 24 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists in there as well. And Alicia Padden, 11 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists. And Julia Chandler, the Canadian who hasn't been in the country that long, had another pretty serviceable game with 7 points, 11 rebounds, 1 assist and a couple of block shots in there as well. So good win there for the...
Doesn't seem to be that with the players that Joondalup are missing, like Nasa, Williams and all those sort of players, that they missed a beat up there.
No, look, they've still got a few players to come in there, and we did a little comparison in the first game we did, home game we didn't, and, just tallied up some of the points per game from last season from the players they've lost compared to, the potential points per game from recent box scores for some of the players coming in, and they've just about broken even there. So
So, I see Ella Thornton Elliott's come to the Wolves, and she was at the Eastern Suns last year.
Yeah, and look, she had a good one. Started in the first game against the Redbacks a couple of weeks ago, and played well. Came off the bench last week and had 3 points and 4 rebounds. But her defense is pretty good as well, Cambo, which you don't see. That doesn't pop up in the stats too much. But her work on some of the opposition guards and defensively is pretty good. So she certainly brings something very tangible to the Wolves this year. So she's has been a very good pickup for the Wolves.
It's Simo, 21-7 in the last quarter. They absolutely overpowered the Slammers.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a bit of fatigue, for a relatively young squad coming into that game last night, having also played the night before down in Bunbury, where they had a reasonably quiet last quarter in the game as well against Coburn. So it's a long season for the Southwest Slammers, but they just need to keep building and get some momentum, and no doubt they'll snatch a few wins during the season as they get better and just sort of gel as a team. But just doing it a little bit tough at the moment, unfortunately. But not so much for the men's competition though, because they were pretty competitive. They came off a win the previous night against the Coburn Cougars and then travelled up the freeway to take on the Wolves last Saturday night, as we said there. But it was a pretty tough game. The Wolves ended up winning the game 98 points to 82, but sort of that scoreline didn't really reflect how close the game had been all evening. And it was certainly a good effort by CJ Turnage with 35 points, 10 boards and 3 assists in there. So, yeah, two games in a row, he scored in excess of 30 points. So he's started the season off very nicely. Caleb Davis, in his second game for the Wolves, had a double-double with 13 points and 12 rebounds. And Christian Gelina was also pretty good in there with 17 points and 5 rebounds. But for the South West Slammers, an import, it was an absolute handful for the Wolves. Ended up with 39 points, 11 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal on the block shot in there. And then he looks like quite a player. So, some good signs there for South West, even though they dropped that game against the Gentle Up Wolves last weekend. A couple of games tonight, gents, for the Gentle Up Wolves. They're travelling up to the Goldfields. And, Goldfields men played a couple of games last weekend in a double header. They beat Lakeside 83 points to 80. And in that game, if I can just quickly find my notes.
Randy Bell, 22 points.
Yeah, that's Deshaun Parsons, American import also. Gordon had a triple-double with 19 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists, 2 steals. As you said there, Randy Bell, another American import, 22 points, 5 rebounds and 5 assists in that win. And then the next night they took on the Rockingham Flames, who are a very, very good team. And you know, if those two guys, Bell and Parsons, they backed it up with... Bell had 31 points and 9 rebounds in that loss against the Flames, and Parsons had 12 points, 11 rebounds and 7 assists. So I think they will be a handful for the Gentle Up Wolves tonight, gents. So hopefully the Wolves get switched on and can somehow nullify the impact of those two guys in tonight's game and hopefully get that road win. 6 o'clock for the women's game and 8 o'clock for the men's game tonight. So if you go onto the NBL One West site, just follow the links. You can watch a live stream of those games tonight. So it should be very interesting.
Absolutely. Hey, Gordo, you were going to look at the Boomer squad because they got announced during the week as well, Sacco. Simo. It starts with S.
My time, but never Sacco. But
hey, starts with S, and you're Sacco's got his nose in the trough. So you're very similar people, to be honest.
Yeah, look, the Boomer squad has been announced, and it's an extended squad, but they've got 10 players from the Tokyo 2020 bronze medal team. So. And the likes of Joe Ingles, Paddy Mills, Josh Green, Matisse Feibel, Dante Exum, Jock Landale, Chris Golding, Matthew Dellavedova, Diop Reef, and Nick Kay are in that extended squad. But then you've also got some new guys like Josh Daniels, Dyson Daniels, Jack White, Xavier Cooks, as well as a young guy from Victoria by the name of Johnny Furphy. So a lot of people would probably not have heard of Johnny Furphy before, but as I said, he's from Melbourne. He went to the Centre of Excellence in Canberra, the Institute of Sports. He's currently playing with Kansas University, the Jayhawks, and did play with Victoria in the 2023 Under-20 Nationals last year, and averaged 3.5 points per game, 32% from the 3-point line and 5 rebounds per game over those national championships as well. So, of course, from the NBL, Gordon, they've got DJ Vasilovic, Jack McVay, Sam Froling, Ken Opinda, Rocco Zikowski, Will Magnay, and Will Bedell White. So, as I said, an extended squad, but a pretty good squad all in all, I thought, Gordon.
It certainly is. And, of course, Brian Gorgian, the coach, it's his fourth Olympics as head coach. And Ben Simmons, though, has withdrawn due to a back injury, late withdrawal.
Yeah, that's a bit of a shame, but as if he was ever actually going to play, but...
just thought we'd highlight that, Zimo. That's why I left it open for you.
Thank you very much. But
slam that... Hey, Simo, don't you be afraid to slam a door. Right. Don't you worry about that.
Hey, speaking of Rocco Zikowski being named in that Boomers squad... he was part of the Australian Centre of Excellence under 20 team that recently played in the Albert Schweitzer Cup over in Germany.
Yep.
And did I pronounce that correctly, Gordon? Apologies if I botched that up. But, they actually won the tournament. So They took on Turkey, beat them 90-55. They beat the Czech Republic 99-51. Beat Japan 93-67. Germany 89-75 win there. Slovenia 93-56 win. Played Italy in the semi-finals and beat them 80-66. And then took on a very, very good Serbian team and won that game 71-65. So took out the gold medal. Germany beat Italy for the bronze in that tournament. But Rocco Zekowski, of course, a Queenslander, 7'3", does play in the NBL. In that gold medal game, had 20 points, 12 rebounds and 2 assists, and was named MVP of the tournament. So very, very well done to that young man, and he definitely has a very good future. Now, interestingly, just as a little side note, I did mention Johnny Murphy, who's been named in that Australian Boomers extended squad. There's a young man by the name of Jacob Furphy playing for that Emus under 20 team who won that gold medal. Absolutely no relation at all, I believe. So, not often you see the name Furphy pop up in basketball.
you're not telling us a Furphy, are you, Simo?
you've worked on that line all night, haven't you, Simo? Just quietly.
And, of course, the under-18s have been playing as well. Gordon, I think you've got some news there.
Yeah, the under-18s are over there in Brisbane, our junior wheelchair, our WA Black Ducks. They're on top of the table. They'll take on Queensland today. And in the under-18 women, believe it or not, the WA Country will play the WA Metro for 9th or 10th spot today. In the men's, the WA Country will take on New South Wales for 11th, and our Metro, WA Metro, will take on Queensland South, that game later today. So some good results there. Emma Clark, 40-odd points for the WA Metro. We know Emma from the Warwick Senators.
Absolutely. And, of course, we're getting close to free agency. Yes. Gordon as well, and Alex Starr for the Perth Wildcats has nominated for the NBA draft, so no doubt he will get picked up somewhere. Yep. Corey Webster is gone, so there was an option that the Wildcats didn't take up with him, but his brother Ty Webster's option has been taken up, so he'll sign off for a season 25. Cole Zunick, unfortunately, has gone for the Perth Wildcats, having just played the 40 games in a couple of years. And of course, the big news also is Jesse Wagstaff has agreed to sign on for one more year with the Perth Wildcats as well. So
is that a surprise? Simo, it's Cambo. Is that a surprise? Because Jesse Wagstaff was playing off the bench for the first four games of last season and then decided they'd start him. And then all of a sudden he was playing limited minutes. And now they've signed him for another year.
Yeah, look, he's a bit of a Swiss Army knife, the Jesse Wagstaff. He just sort of plugs the gap if there's if there's a hole somewhere. Just his experience and his ability to play bigger positions than he actually is. You know, he can go and defend the big guy or, you know, and play just to have an impact defensively for a couple of minutes a game. I just think, yeah, look, I probably understand that signing. I don't really have a problem with just the experience and what he can do on and off the court with some of the young guys coming through. I just think it's good guy to have around in that 11th spot.
Yeah. Hey, mate, what's happening with Jordan Usher?
Jordan Usher, good question. I haven't actually heard any news on him. I would look, to be brutally honest, I would be surprised if the Wildcats re-signed him, unless you've heard something differently, Gordon. But no. I don't think his performance, he showed some signs at times, but just lack consistency for my liking. Of course, he had that breakout, 35-point game in the first game of the season. We thought, the sky's the limit with this guy, but and then he sort of petered off very quickly and, did have some good minutes, as I said there. But I think the disappointing thing for me personally was, he came into the league and he was photographed with Damian Martin and wanted to be the next defensive player of the year in the league. And his defense was found to be wanting very, very badly. So he was continually beaten off the dribble and couldn't keep his player in front of him defensively. So lots of things to work on. He's still a young guy. I mean, it's his first professional season out of college. So, still relatively young, as I said. If he works hard in his game, no doubt he can reach a pretty heady level of basketball. But he's not there just yet, I don't think, gents.
Agree totally.
All right, Simo. Well, that's comprehensive. And unfortunately, you haven't got the helicopter up to Kalgoorlie tonight, but you'd have to pay for it yourself. You can't give it off to anybody else, mate.
No, absolutely not. I wouldn't expect that. So, yeah, I'll be watching tonight, watching the coverage. So there should be a couple of good games, gents, if you get a spare moment to sit down and watch them.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen to the commentators, and I bet you they can't do it as good as you can, Simo. Just quietly.
too kind, Gambo.
Thanks, Simo. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye, Glenn. See you guys. Thanks for having me. Bye.
Glenn Simpson there, and as he says, if you want an interest in basketball and the Wolves, the game will be on the NBL One website, live stream from the Kalgoorlie Stadium, which is absolutely fantastic. We're going to go off to our sponsors break and a song from the Gordon Allen collection. I'm not sure what we got, Gordo. What
Summer
we got?
Of 69.
Very good. Well. Hey. It's a very good summer for you two. I was not born, but you guys had a great time. You're listening to Talking Sport right here on 89.7 FM, Cambo in the hot seat with Gordon Allen and Tim Park. We'll be back after our all-important sponsors break.
Monday Sports Mix from 6 to 8 p.m. every Monday evening on 89.7 FM with Gordon Allen and the team. Hear all the latest rugby league news, scores, result updates, and gossip in the rugby league segment from 6 to 7 p.m. And then it's all about junior sport from 7 to 8 p.m. each and every Monday night. Monday Sports Mix, the best mix of sport with Gordon Allen and the team here on 89.7 FM.
Are you looking for a gift for that special person in your life? Maybe for an anniversary, a loyal employee, or a birthday, or graduation? Whatever the reason, station sponsor Grazie Gifts have a massive range of gift basket and hamper options to suit all occasions. So, to choose the right gift for that special person and order online, visit grazie.com.au. That's grazie.com.au.
Have you ever wanted to look at the stars up close? Well, now you can. Station sponsor the Gravity Discovery Centre will open a whole new world of amazement for you. Located north of Perth, just off Indian Ocean Drive, the Gravity Discovery Centre has something for everyone, with a great range of attractions. Climb the Leaning Tower, explore the Cosmology Gallery, get up close in the Biodiversity Gallery, and take in the marvels of the Milky Way at the Observatory. For more information, bookings and tickets, go to gravitycentre.com.au.
Ever wondered what it's like to be on a radio station, be a part of a great team, or even on your own radio show? Have your voice heard across the city of Joondalup, Wanneroo and Stirling, surrounding suburbs and streaming online? Why don't you head over to www.897fm.com.au and become a member today? And best of all members are welcome. See you soon.
Listen online, anywhere, worldwide.
897fm.com.au.
Got my first real six string, bought it at the Five and Dime, played it till my fingers bled. Was the summer of 69. Me and some guys from school had a band and we tried real hard. Jimmy quit, Jody got married. Should've known we'd never get far. Oh, and I look back now, the summer seemed to last forever.
It's Saturday morning, and that means it's Talking Sport.
Yes, another great song from the Gordon Allen collection. And I tell you what, listeners, these two gentlemen with me this morning were getting misty-eyed when that song was on because I remember what they were doing in 1969. But we're
Woodstock.
I'm glad you're older than me, Tim.
Yeah, I can just imagine you at Woodstock, Timmy, with long hair and beads. And no, it's
probably more like Sunbury. More like Sunbury.
We're going to have a look now. IPL cricket, gents.
Yep.
Anybody care?
Nope.
It doesn't seem to be getting any real traction at the moment.
Not in Australia.
Didn't look too good for Green and Maxwell, does it, if we're talking Aussie?
No, well, you know, as we say, the IPL is currently
underway. Pay a fortune and you're not playing. Not a bad gig, is it?
Well, I tell you what, Jasper Brumer thinks it must be Christmas because he's getting all the points. He is having an absolute ball.
Well, he's a hell of a bowler.
He's a good bowler.
Is he ever?
And we've got the Rajasthan Royals are currently sitting on top of the table. The Mumbai Indians have been struggling a little bit, and so have the Capitals. So all of a sudden, all the favourites aren't going that flash in the IPL. In other scores at cricket that's going on at the moment, we've got the English County Championships going on.
It's pretty early, isn't it? Weather will be a problem, I know that.
Yeah, round two this week. Last week they started and a couple of sides didn't get a ball bowled. But round two this week, and if we just quickly have a look, because my screen went, see? I had this all set up.
If you're packing your bag for those games, the first thing you put in is three jumpers.
Yeah. Well, Essex are playing Kent. At Chelmsford, Essex made 6 for 421. Hampshire are playing Lancashire at Southampton. Hampshire are 6 for 305. Nottinghamshire are playing Worcester at Nottingham, and they're 6 for 305 as well. This is all on day one. In the other game on day one at the Oval, Somerset are playing Surrey. Somerset bowled out for 285, and Surrey none for 42, and this is all the first division games. Glamorgan 237 at Cardiff against Derby, 1 for 46. Yorkshire playing Gloucestershire. Oh, look here. Yorkshire 326, Gloucestershire 2 for 28.
Joe Rook's back in that team, is he?
Yeah, playing. He's playing. Everybody's playing. And in the other first division game, Warwickshire playing Durham, where my brother is coaching Durham, and Warwickshire won the toss. Well, Durham won the toss and chose to field.
Oh, well, what do you expect?
After 96 overs, 1 for 490.
Can we blame the coach for that?
I reckon the coach should have come on and bowled. Even
what
he
is
could
this
have,
all about? I just don't get it.
Even anyway. he could have bowled underarm when they won for 490. Jeepers. In the second division, we've got Leicester playing Sussex. Leicester 8 for 326. Northamptonshire playing Middlesex. Middlesex coming off a big win last week, where they got the record score in a county championship at Lords.
At Lords, yeah.
600 and lots.
Well,
Northamptonshire, 3
what do you
for
say?
311.
Make a game of it.
Oh, 3 for 311. So that gives us up to date on that. In the IPL today, the Punjab Kings play the Rajasthan Royals, that no one cares about. Yes, so that's where we're up to with cricket as a sidelight.
Well, of course, I'm not aware the Mumbai Indians also own the New York team that's in the Major League Cricket in the US going into their second season. That's interesting to see their diversifying.
Yes. Well, you know, the big thing at the moment for world cricket is that the franchises, owners, will have franchises in different countries. And the countries... So England, Australia, India or whatever, will have to actually go to the franchise owners to ask permission for their player to play test matches.
Exactly right.
Is that gone, Matt? Am I just old school or is that just Matt?
It's the wrong way around.
Wrong way around.
Yeah, should be the other way around.
Play for your country rather than anything else. Now, in rugby union, the old Western Reds, they're still going. Sort of.
The Western Force.
Well, the Western Force, yeah. Western Force. They're still going, sort of.
Well, they had a bye. They've got a bye this weekend. They take on the Crusaders
next, they'll win that.
Next Saturday. Oh, yeah, well, right. They probably will in next Saturday because the Crusaders lost 43-40 to New South Wales Waratahs.
Yep.
The Force are 12th. The Crusaders are 11th. Mm. So the Crusaders, only 1 point difference there on the ladder.
So do you think this could be the first game in five?
Here? That's next weekend.
Is it here? Or
yes, it's here.
It's here. Well, so yeah, you'd say they're a good chance.
So you think the first time in 5 years the Force might start as favourite?
I think they would.
It could, yeah. Yeah, you would say that.
But for the women Force team, they're taking on the ACT Brumbies today in Canberra, and they'll finish either third or fourth, and they'll have a possible home semi-final.
Not good.
So that's great, because there's a number of Joondalup young ladies and Wanneroo young ladies in that team, in the squad. So good luck to the Western Force women today against the ACT Brumbies. The Sevens in Hong Kong last weekend, our women finished third, men finished fourth. And the local competition, it starts next Saturday. Wanneroo will take on West and Joondalup. They have the bye, so that's all happening there in the rugby union.
Yeah, so fantastic for the rugby union. And yeah,
of course, that's the game they play in heaven.
Exactly right.
Hey?
It's the game they play in
heaven.
That's
the game they play in heaven.
Only because the heaven's full of palms.
West. I think if I go there, I'll be a loose forward.
Oh, dear me. There's a line there. I'm not using
leave
it.
Leave that alone.
Wide berth through leave to the alone. Keeper. Moving on. West Coast Fever and the Super Netball. They've started their season as well.
It starts today. The Giants will take on the Fever Sydney, 3 o'clock our time. And looking forward to seeing English defender Fran Williams and Jamaican goalie Shanice Betchford in action for the Fever. Thunderbirds, Firebirds today. Tomorrow, Mavericks, the new team, take on the Vixens, and the Lightning will take on the Swifts. So round one, Super Netball, all starts today.
Hey, that's going to be a great competition because it's not as cut and dried as what it has been in previous seasons, Gordo.
No, it certainly won't be.
Which is what we want.
Which is
it?
What you want, well and truly. Well and truly.
Because basically it was Janelle Fowler versus everybody else.
Exactly right. She's 6'7" and just stands above everyone else. So that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
So West Coast Fever get their season underway this afternoon as well. So we might do Big Trev's tips while we're doing this.
Sounds good.
Because Big Trev's on a roll.
Very good last week. So
he's on a roll. So
yeah, definitely.
Get your pens ready. We just quickly change that a little. We just change the running sheet because I'm the host and I can do those sorts of things.
Exactly right.
Just do what you like.
Absolutely. If only that were true. Big Trev's tips. Pens ready. Race one, number two, Show Me the Way, paying $3. And we hope you have a bit of fun of these and gamble responsibly. Race four, number one, Let's Deal, paying $5. Gordo, you're saying your song here. Let's Deal and Show Me the Way. You've done that many times.
Sounds very good.
The best bet is race six, number nine, Ollie's Choice, paying $3.70. And the roughie is race nine, number seven, Ultimate Command, which is paying $14. Just go through those quickly again. Race one, number two, Show Me the Way. And Max Wilson has said that many times to a bartender at about 10:30 or 11 o'clock at night, Show Me the Way Home, paying $3. Race four, number one, Let's Deal, paying $5. His best bet is race six, number nine, Ollie's Choice, which is paying $3.70. The roughie is in race nine, number seven, Ultimate Command, which is paying $14. And it's the Derby here in Perth today, race seven. For the WA Derby, number five, Buckets Ridge, paying $4.20. There you go. So you get an extra bonus one today.
That was like in the northern suburbs yesterday.
What's that?
Buckets Ridge.
Yeah, it was raining buckets, that's for sure. So there you go. Make sure you gamble responsibly. Have fun with those and maybe get a bit of Chinese and a taxi ride home after the races. So these Big Trev's tips. We're going to go off to our sponsors break and another song from the Gordon Allen collection. What have we got?
We're going to do Crowded House, Better Be Home Soon. I thought you liked that, Gary.
Max Wilson, that's your theme song from Mrs. Wilson. And good morning, Mrs. Wilson, if you're listening. We're off to the sponsor song, to the song and the sponsors break, which are very important because it's a volunteer organisation here at 89.7 FM. And we'll be back after that to talk all things. Well, if we haven't been talking waffle enough, we've got actually the waffle coming up after this. You're listening to Talking Sport right here on 89.7 FM.
Every year, hundreds of schools around WA have their school photos taken by a specialist school photographer. And Capture Photography has been doing this for over 17 years. No other school photographer puts as much effort into providing WA's highest quality photographic products. If you are part of a school management team, a PNC member, or even a parent wanting the very finest school photos, get in touch with the team at capture.com.au. That's Capture with a K. Station sponsor.
The City of Wanneroo, corporate sponsor, proudly supporting 89.7 FM.
Andy Warhol Icons is now on display at the City of Wanneroo's Regional Gallery. The iconic exhibition, featuring artwork by one of the most influential artists of the 20th century, is here as part of the National Gallery of Australia's Shining the National Collection initiative. Don't miss your chance to view these international treasures. Plan your visit at wanneroo.wa.gov.au/Wanneroo Gallery.
Proudly brought to you by 89.7 FM.
Do you own a business? Are you listening to this ad right now? Well, we could put your business right here, and it's cheaper than you might think. For more information, go to 89.7fm.com.au and contact sales.
On 89.7 Talking Sport from 8 to 11 a.m. Saturdays.
Somewhere deep inside, something's got a hold on you, and it's pushing me aside. See it stretch on forever, and I know I'm right for the first time in my life. That's why I tell you, you'd better be home soon. Stripping back the coats of lies and deception, back to nothingness, like a week in the desert.
It's Talking Sport.
Ah, That's just for Max Wilson to say you better be home soon if he's not already home.
I hope he's already home.
Wow, absolutely. So we're going to be talking a little bit of waffle, which we've been done since, which we've been doing since 8 o'clock this morning. But no, it's the West Australian Football League. Now, just off air, we're having a chat about the concussion protocols. So what happens is that if it happens in a state league, waffle competition or amateurs, it's 21 days. If it happens at an AFL, it's a level, it's 12-day protocol because they think it's professional sport but it's under doctor's direction. Mm-hmm. The problem that you have is if West Perth are playing Peel and a Dockers listed player and, say, a West Perth player have an accidental head clash, both have knocked out, both go into concussion protocols.
Different rules.
The Fremantle Docker listed player can be back in 12 days and the West Perth player can be back in 21. So it's different rules.
A bit strange.
For whatever reason. Now, last week it was round two. And West Coast played South Fremantle. South Fremantle, 22 goals, 11, defeated West Coast, 8-7. Claremont played East Fremantle. East Fremantle, 21 goals, 9, if you don't mind, down at Revo Fitness.
John O'Marsh, 7 of those. Oh, damn whiz.
I tell you what, 21-9 is good kicking. Defeated Claremont, 6 goals,
not
9.
Not a very good start for Claremont, then. That's two out of two losses.
Yeah, absolutely. They're a little bit of hurt. We'll find out a bit more about that in a minute. East Perth, 18 goals, 11, defeated Swan Districts, 11-16. 11-16. Just think about that for a sec. They had 27 scoring shots, and East Perth had 29 scoring shots, and Swans got beat by 6 goals. Poof, not good.
Didn't show up for the defences, did it?
Well, no. Well, defence could have been a Spanish accountant in that game. and in the other two games, West Perth played Perth. West Perth 17-14, 116 defeated Perth, 9-14-68. So Perth came back with a thud. And as we said, Max Wilson's dusted off the 1977 grand final memorabilia because that was the last time Perth played in the grand final. Well, last time they won it anyway. They did play in 1978 where not only did it rain for three quarters, Gordo, every time Perth kicked with the breeze changed direction. It was an amazing place. And last Sunday, Subiaco played Peel. Subiaco, 14 goals, 8-92. Peel Thunder, 9 goals, 12. What does all that mean? Well, what that means after two rounds...
West Perth are on the top.
With East Perth.
Well, they are, funnily enough. As soon as I get to my...
getting to your ladder?
My ladder. If I press the button here, I tell you what, it's an amazing thing. You get all this modern technology, then you've got to learn how to press the buttons. So, after two rounds, East Perth and West Perth are undefeated. East Perth sitting on top. By percentage from West Perth. In third spot, South Fremantle. Swans are fourth and Subi round out the top five.
Early days yet, of course.
Early days, only two rounds. But I'll tell you what, there's some interesting rounds because I've got something coming up shortly. Subiaco, as I say, round out the top five. Peel Thunder sixth. Perth are seventh. East Fremantle are eighth. Even though they've won one game, they're still on 0 points. That's because they had little breach of whatever they did. Claremont are ninth, which means
that's probably the surprise.
A big surprise. And West Coast in 10th position, but we know about West Coast's situation. So East Fremantle on naught, but they've at least won a game and they're showing some good form. So once they get past their breaches, I think East Fremantle and South Fremantle, East Perth, West Perth will make up the top four. They'll come from the clouds, which will be interesting. Today's games, we've got... I keep having to move things
Peel
around.
I'll tell you, Peel Thunder versus East Perth. Subiaco versus West Perth, South Fremantle versus Claremont, Perth versus Swan Districts today.
That's very good. Look at that.
And tomorrow, West Coast.
We don't need computer gone, do we?
And tomorrow, West Coast.
No, you got your computer there. I can hear the pages turning.
Shh, don't tell everybody.
So, looking at this, we've got Peel and East Perth. Now, that's down at Peel. So you would think East Perth, they're going gangbusters at the moment because they've got a great midfield, East Perth. Subiaco playing West Perth at Sullivan Logistics Stadium, which is the old Leaderville Oval. That'll be probably match of the round, South Metal, between Subiaco and West Perth. Subi fifth, West Perth second. Subi showing some good form as well. South Fremantle playing Claremont. Now, this one's going to get ugly early because South Fremantle are in sparkling form and Claremont, as we keep saying, Timmy, Claremont's struggling huge.
Well, of course, as we know, South Perth, Freo, kicked 22 goals last weekend against West Coast.
Yeah, South Fremantle, yeah.
South Fremantle, 22 goals.
Yeah, and, you know, that doesn't surprise me a lot, Gordo, against West Coast, but it was the way they did it.
Yep.
Their systems down there is really good at the minute.
Might be a bit more soggy grounds today.
Yeah, maybe. They drain pretty well, so they should be fine. Now, there's the Waffle Wonderland out at Mineral Resources Park with games all day and bouncy castles and pop-up cocktail bars and all that sort of stuff. Max Wilson's there as the taster for the cocktail bar. But the Waffle Wonderland, Perth versus Swan Districts. You know why they got the Waffle Wonderland out there, Gordo?
No, waiting for you to tell us, Cambo.
Because this could be the first time in about 15 years Perth will start favourite.
And that's what the wonder is. So that's Wonderland.
Yeah, that's why. Because Perth have done some – Perth have absolutely killed it as far as recruiting in the off-season goes. And it pains me to say this. But Charlie Constable out at Perth is just carrying him on his back at the minute. So if you wanted to have a smoky for the Sandover medal, get your money on Charlie Constable because he's doing everything for them. And in the other game tomorrow, West Coast are playing East Fremantle. This is like a junior game because it starts at 10 o'clock, so they're kicking the dew off the ground tomorrow. So West Coast are playing East Fremantle. You would think East Fremantle will win that.
Well, the agony will be all over pretty quickly for West Coast, you would think, early in the day.
Well, the game starts at 10. The game will be done by about 20 past.
Yep.
Now, in the reserves, this is where you see what's coming up after everything else, because the big thing with the reserves is it's always good to have a look, because with the reserves, not so much happens, but with the Colts is where all the young players are. But in the reserves, Claremont are sitting on top, Perth are second, South Fremantle third, Subi fourth, and East Perth are fifth. And in the Colts, Claremont sitting on top again, East Perth second, Perth are third. And Perth have had a good Colt system there for a while. It's just amazing that what happens is with Perth is that they all get drafted.
Yeah, and you lose them.
And you lose them. Mm. Swan Districts are fourth, East Fremantle are fifth, Subi are sixth, West Perth seventh, South Fremantle are eighth, and Peel Thunder are ninth, because obviously West Coast don't have a side in the Colts and the reserves. So, yeah, all to play for. We'll go to some tips. Who are you tipping, boys? We go back to the round. So Peel Thunder, East Perth. Gordo, who are you picking?
I'll go East Perth.
East Perth? Timmy? Timmy's looking at him.
I might go the other way. I might go Peel on this one.
So Timmy's looking at his computer, flicking over the pages there,
Gordo. It's a good computer. So I'll tell you what else, it's real quick.
Yeah, I know, but then you butcher the English language that it comes out.
That's my problem.
It doesn't have doesn't have spell checker on it. Subiaco playing West Perth.
We'll go West Perth.
We've got to go West Perth, haven't we?
Local.
Parochial. Ooby dooby, come on, Subi, but I think West Perth will have too many guns. East Perth will beat Peel. South Fremantle playing Claremont.
Claremont. Yeah, you'd have to think South Fremantle.
Well, you would in recent form, but I wouldn't rank Claremont off either.
Now, this is the one that Max Wilson, we're going to have a mushroom cloud over Caramel if we get this one wrong. Perth playing Swan Districts.
Swan Districts.
Perth.
There you go, Max.
Oh yeah, it's paining me. I'll have to stand up and have a walk around because it's paining me. I'm going to say Perth. Oh, it's paining me. It's paining me. And West Coast play East Fremantle tomorrow morning, and you would think East Fremantle just
a matter
whack
of picking the score.
Yeah, it'll be somewhere between 0 and about 130, I reckon.
There's something not quite right there, and it shouldn't be that way, should it?
With West Coast, it compromises the integrity of the competition, I think.
Of course it does.
Yeah, said that last year.
Because they're not playing. See, it'd be okay. Everybody keeps saying, oh, it's a West Coast team. But the problem is, in the background of that, they're not allowed to approach any players. So they've either got their list, as we know, it's a short list anyway from the AFL, with only a list of 42, and then they can't get any players. They can't, you know, players have got to come to them, and they've got restrictions on who they can get. So you haven't been on a waffle list for 2 years, and you've come from the country.
And it's not doing the players that's playing any good either, because getting beat week in, week out is not helping anybody.
Well, it's not helping, but some of the players are using it and saying, well, if I show form in the West Coast Eagles reserves, I might get a game in the West Coast. Well, you're not going to actually, if you're a forward and you're getting beat by 100 points, you're not actually showing a lot, are you?
Nope.
Because the ball's never down there.
Nope.
So, yeah, it's a bit difficult. It's one of those ones where there's no right or wrong answer. Technically.
Better have a look at the women as well.
Absolutely.
Round 6 last week, Claremont defeated West Perth, South Frio defeated East Perth, East Frio defeated Peel and Swan defeated Subi. Claremont undefeated in the women's table as well.
Yeah, they have a great women's program.
Claremont going really well, even though the top team's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all the other grades, as you mentioned there, with the reserves
and the Colts.
Now, last night, West Perth played East Frio. East Frio, third spot, defeated West Perth in second, 45-9. That was a big win.
And it just shows a bit of a gulf in the ladies' programs between different clubs. But I know Claremont's are very good because they've got a lot of, in their district, they've got a lot of amateur women's teams as well in that area. So they pick out players for the Claremont AFLW team. So
truly.
They're really good at that. And, you know, the AFLW... And the WAFLW, it's improving.
It certainly is. Today, Peel will take on East Perth, Claremont Subi tomorrow, South Frio and Swan. So there we go. That's their women.
Yeah, so it's improving, it's getting better, and just got to keep supporting it as we go through. So, Gordo, what have we got as far as a song? We haven't got a song?
Well, we're only coming up to 5 minutes to 10.
We're going early.
We're going early. Well, the tennis, the Monte Carlo Masters, the finals on tomorrow.
Yep.
Novak Djokovic unfortunately defeated Aussie Alex de Minaur in the quarterfinal 7-5, 6-4, which was a shame.
Thereabouts.
Now, Novak will take on Casper Ruud in the first semi-final, and Stefan Tsitsipas will take on Jannik Sinner.
And where's Cramps? Still suffering?
Are we still suffering? And, of course, the women, the Billie Jean King Cup, 12 teams. That's on in Brisbane at the moment. The Australians, we're leading Mexico 2-0, and they need one more to make the final. Aussie Storm Hunter yesterday, she unfortunately ruptured her Achilles.
Oh,
and was replaced in the last minute by Dasha.
That's a long out, isn't it?
It is a long out. And Dasha, well, she won her singles, so well done there. And the rest of the games, the reverse singles and doubles on today, but one win there and win to the final of the Billie Jean King Cup for the women.
Some would say that Achilles is worse than a broken leg.
Well, it is. And Storm Hunter, I read somewhere, is not as young as what you think.
No.
She's getting up around that 30 mark. So that might be almost career ending.
Career ending. I think that's what some of the articles said, Gambo.
Yeah. Because getting an Achilles injury at that age and then trying to do the rehab and come back, because usually it's about 9 months.
9 months.
Usually.
It's a nasty injury.
Yeah, it's a nasty injury. 9 months rehab. So,
and we're talking about Brisbane, of course, next week, or later this week, we've got our National Swimming Championships
looming fast, isn't it?
Very quickly, and final selections for the Olympics as well. They're on the Gold Coast, and plenty of good performances in the age championships by some young West Aussies too over there. So, but looking forward to the National Swimming Championships, Cam. That'll be fantastic.
Yeah. It's the only reason why people in Australia watch the Olympics for the first week. The second week, they turn off and they do something else. Because but the first week's the swimming.
With the swimming, everyone's watching that well and truly.
Well and truly, isn't it?
And if we don't get any gold medals in the swimming, guess what? We don't get any gold medals.
Exactly.
We don't get any gold medals anyway.
Exactly right.
It's just the way it works.
Well and truly.
Oh, dear me.
All right.
I tell you what, we're in front. I can't believe we're in front. We're 2 minutes in front. I'm working a treat. I was just going to put this out to Max and Clive. This is what a host of a good program does, runs a tight ship, gets early, forgets done stuff done. Look at that. I can't work out which clock I'm looking at the minute. We've got so many different clocks. But I tell you what, talking sport right here on 89.7 FM. We're going to go off to the news and the sponsors break. When we come back, it's the AFL segment. Have the Brisbane Lions finally come good? And has our Melbourne contenders or pretenders? And is Essendon going to get rubbed out for 6 months after running doggo last night? If they were a horse, they'd be swabbed. We're coming back with all of that very, very soon after the news. You're listening to 89.7 FM. Talking Sport, Cambo in the hot seat with Gordon Allen and Tim Park. Hope you're enjoying what you're listening, and we'll be back after the news.
Swag the dog, let's head for Byron Bay. Watch those whales, then hit the trail and catch some Gold Coast waves. Girl, I vote we sail a boat out from Milly Beach. Hit the sand up there in Cairns and snorkel. Let's have some fun down Highway 1. Get some sun down Highway 1. Me and you in a Falcon U down Highway 1. Get some laughs on a big and rough. Those Darwin Crocs. Hang your bra up in that bar at the Daily Waters pub. Burn some rubber through Port Augusta to catch mangrove jack in broom. I don't care, I'll go anywhere as long as I'm with. Sun down Highway 1. Me and you in a Falcon U down Highway 1. Let's have some fun down Highway 1. Get some sun down Highway 1. Me and you in a Falcon U down Highway 1. Down Highway
897 FM Community File.
ECU is proud to offer a free exercise clinic where you can participate either virtually via an online platform or in person at the ECU Health Centre in Wanneroo. The free exercise clinic is open to anyone 18 years and older, and each session goes for 60 minutes. Sessions are run by ECU's third and fourth year exercise science students, supervised by accredited exercise physiologists. You can enrol in the full 13-week program or simply attend as many or as few sessions as you like. Visit the ECU Health Centre website for more information.
Ever wondered what it's like to be on a radio station, be a part of a great team, or even on your own radio show? Have your voice heard across the city of Joondalup, Wanneroo and Stirling, surrounding suburbs and streaming online? Why don't you head over to www.897fm.com.au and become a member today? And best of all members are welcome. See you soon.
Radio is a very effective way to get into people's ears. Like I'm in your ear right now. Get your business into people's ears. Go to 897fm.com.au and see what we can do to grow your business.
The average person spends 44 minutes a day thinking about food. At OzHarvest, thinking about food is a full-time job because we're always looking for new ways to nourish our country and combat food waste and hunger. Every day, we rescue quality surplus food across Australia and deliver it to those who'd otherwise go hungry. And you can help. Every dollar donated to OzHarvest can provide two meals to people in need. Visit OzHarvest.org. Thought for food.
Why not become the sponsor of this news report? Contact 897 FM.
This is 897 FM News.
National Radio News.
Hello, I'm Liam O'Connell. Israel has not yet reacted to warnings by the US of a growing threat of attack by Iran. The Islamic country has continued to inflame tensions in recent days following the deaths of two Iranian generals in Syria after a suspected Israeli strike. The Netanyahu government has not issued any additional warnings to the military or civilians, despite many Western countries upgrading travel warnings for the region. US President Joe Biden says the country's commitment to Israel is substantial.
We are devoted to the defense of Israel. We will support Israel, we will help defend Israel, and Iran will not succeed.
Polls have opened in the Sydney electorate of Cook as voters determine the successor of former Prime Minister Scott Morrison. Liberal candidate Simon Kennedy is expected to win the contest after the Labor Party opted not to run in the seat. Speaking to Sky, Mr. Kennedy says he isn't yet able to vote in the electorate, but would be grateful for an opportunity to represent it.
I come from a family of service. Mum and Dad were public school teachers. My grandparents were in the military, nurses. And for me, service is in my blood, and that's what I'm hoping to do here in the electorate of Cook.
The safety and longevity of regional infrastructure has come under scrutiny after a landslide isolated residents and tourists in the New South Wales Blue Mountains. Noah Seckham reports from Canberra.
Limited pedestrian access to the Megalong Valley was arranged nearly 1 week after a landslide swept away the only road to the region last weekend. Federal MP Susan Templeman says much of the infrastructure connecting communities in and around the Blue Mountains is at a heightened risk of damage.
Some of these roads are the oldest in the country, and while the Great Western Highway has been significantly upgraded, there are still sections of it where a 21st century solution is not in place yet.
Ms. Templeman says local governments cannot be expected to foot the bill for significant road upgrades and maintenance. Noah Seckham, National Radio News, Canberra.
More than 1,000 people have marched through the regional city of Ballarat demanding more be done to end male violence. Three women have died or disappeared allegedly at the hand of men in the community since the beginning of the year. Speaking to the ABC, the rally organiser Sissy Austin says victim survivors of domestic violence and abuse from across the country gathered to show solidarity.
Every single life matters. Every single person who was lost has a name. They have, you know, friends, family. There's a whole entire community around that one person that matters.
If you or someone you know needs support, you can contact 1-800-RESPECT on 1-800-737-732. Western Australia's Crime and Corruption Commission says the state's ombudsman should consider resigning after a two-week investigation. Ombudsman Chris Fields undertook extensive international travel in his role, costing WA taxpayers hundreds of thousands of dollars over the period. Mr. Fields was elected president of the International Ombudsman Institute in 2021 and subsequently devoted more of his time overseas than he did to his domestic role. The commission is not compelling Mr. Fields to take any course of action. Updating sport, and in the A-League, a last-minute scoring spree by MacArthur FC have the side a leg up to defeat Adelaide 2-1 overnight. Nestroy Irinkunda led the scoring in the 20th minute, but United lost a man with 10 minutes to go, giving the visitors an opportunity to fight back. Goalkeeper Philip Curto managed to save an added-time penalty, allowing MacArthur to hang on to their lead. Listen to your favourite community radio station and national radio news on the Community Radio Plus app.
National Radio News, produced by Charles Sturt University, the Community Radio Network, and supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation.
It's Saturday morning, and that means it's Talking Sport.
Welcome back to Talking Sport right here on 89.7 FM after the news. People, the hardest working people at the station, have done their bit. Now, we're into the AFL section. Now, we tried to get an AFL expert, but he wasn't available, Gordo.
So we got Cambo?
So we got me instead. Yeah, he wasn't available. We tried. Just didn't get the right price. That's what the problem was. So what we're going to do, let's have a look firstly at gents last week.
Gather round
in South Australia.
It seems like a huge success, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, it does. And I'll tell you what, isn't the South Australian Premier, Peter Melanakis,
well, you can't blame him, can
growing.
You? Yeah, good. Why shouldn't he?
Because now they're going to take it to the Barossa Valley next year. They're going to have games in the Barossa Valley.
Chardonnay half-time.
Well, Chardonnay halftime, but they are spending something like $45 million, the state government, $45 million on the ground in the Barossa Valley to get it up to AFL standard.
Well, they must think it's worth it.
Do you reckon, Gordo, that'd be a way of getting votes? Or
just slightly.
Because they have an election there shortly.
Exactly.
Coming up soon.
But, you know, 220,000 at the game, you know, extra crowds coming in, people from interstate, 1.79 million viewers for the first game against Adelaide and Melbourne. That was a national reach on the Thursday night, whether it was just the normal Thursday night, not sure. But I think overall it seemed to be an outstanding success.
Mm, definitely.
Yeah, it has that carnival atmosphere. Yeah. Now, they used to do this with state carnivals, where they used to have it all in one place and get everybody there and all that sort of stuff. So it does have its place, that's for sure.
Let's look at the results.
Mm. More, well, let's have a look. If I can find my results.
Which one did you want to start with, the first game or the...
No, we'll go to the Saturday games. The Saturday games. So, because we would have covered off on the Friday games last week. But the Saturday games, West Coast played Sydney Swans at Adelaide Hills, Mount Barker.
And did quite well for a period of the game.
Yeah, they were okay. The West Coast 11-12-78, lost to Sydney 15-14-104. You know, you had your usual suspects, but I'll tell you what, one of the big thing was for me was that Harley Reid broke 7 tackles against Sydney. It's the most recorded in a game for 2 years.
It's really great, isn't it? Well, that's why he's number one draft pick, and at 18 years old or whatever it is, it's really good, isn't it?
So you would think the rebuild has started. So that was a good result for West Coast. Sydney, they played their best. West Coast just took it up to them, and all of a sudden, you know, you start to see Jeremy McGovern, instead of sitting back, he's starting to take off at... He's starting to take off half back and all that sort of stuff and running down. So all of a sudden, getting into that. But we'll come to West Coast a little bit later on. We've got a bit more stuff on there. Fremantle played Carlton. Fremantle, 2 points up with 3 minutes
robbed?
To go.
That's the question.
Robbed? I tell you what, they committed highway robbery and no one went to jail. They got beat by Carlton by 10 points. Everybody's seen the result. 9-9, Fremantle 10-13. Carlton kicked 2 goals in the last 2 minutes of the game. Carlton.
When did it last happen where you had 2 kicks for the 1 goal off 1 free kick?
Oh, it always happens.
It comes regularly, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, you just got to be unlucky to get descent.
Descent.
The one that got me, though, was the actual kick into the forward line got touched twice. Not once, twice. Came off a bloke's shoulder, and there was four umpires out there that didn't see it. Of course, all the AFL commentators in the East were saying, oh, you know, we've been making mistakes for 125 years.
And get over it.
Get over it. And I tell you what, if it was Carlton or Collingwood, they'd be having an inquest.
The imagine Eddie Maguire.
Oh. If it was Eddie Everywhere was president of Collingwood and happened to Collingwood, that umpire, not only would he not umpire for the rest of this year, he would be banned from umpiring an AFL game for 5 years. Fair dinkum.
Leave our Eddie alone.
They carry on the Victorians. As I've always said, it's AFL in name only.
I must say the Fremantle coach handled himself very, very well.
Oh, he's fantastic. Troy Longmire is a great coach. They should just give him 5 years. Stop worrying about these one-year deals. Just give you 5 years and do what you want. The Western Bulldogs played Geelong last week. Western Bulldogs got beat 95-91. The Gold Coast Suns played the GWS Giants. This is on the Sunday of Gather Round. And the Giants, 117-89. Toby Green was fantastic. Kicked five goals. Jesse Hogan kicked four. And probably had his hands on another six, so he could have kicked 10, Jesse Hogan. St Kilda played Richmond. St Kilda beat Richmond 67-60. And Hawthorn played Collingwood. Hawthorn were robbed again. And Collingwood got over the line, limped. Collingwood limped over the line. They limped. They tussled. They fell over the line by 5 points, 77-72, because Hawthorn was robbed. I tell you what, we get on the Hawthorn bandwagon for 2025. Don't you worry about that. So let's look at this week.
Thursday night.
Let's start on Thursday night because finally.
At the MCG.
Finally, the Brisbane Lions. The Brisbane Lions came out to play. 12 goals, 10, 82, defeated Melbourne, 8-12, 60. And is Melbourne a contender or a pretender? Well, you be the judge. But I tell you what, they've added some speed, Melbourne, which is a good thing. Their forward line, though, is still a work in progress, but they have added some leg speed. Clayton Oliver, significantly in the midfield, was down on Thursday night, got absolutely smashed in the midfield. The leading goal kickers for... As soon as I get my thing down here we go.
And it was Lachie Neal's 250th game.
Yep, so. Lachie Neal's 250th game.
Been a good player, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Ah, fantastic player. For Brisbane, Cameron kicked three. McGluggage got on the end of a couple. He kicked two. So did Hipwood and Danaher. And for Melbourne, Fritch kicked two. And this is their problem. Van Rooyen, Neil Bullen, Lever Gorn, Chandler and Brown kicked one apiece. Fritch, mid-sized forward, no big clunkers up there. And that was the problem. For Brisbane, Rayner had one out of the box. McGluggage, Dunkley, Neil Andrews and Bailey. And the best for Melbourne, Gorn, Chandler, Viney and Rivers. And as we said, Clayton Oliver down. And now Melbourne have some injury concerns because Salem had a hamstring replaced in the first quarter. Clayton Oliver, looking at the way he was getting over the ground, must have an injury. He wasn't going all that flash. So as Stephen May with his back, that's not going all that flash either. So all of a sudden they've got some injury concerns for at Melbourne. So after that loss, Melbourne had won 4 out of 5. And I think Melbourne were the pretenders and not the contenders. But last night, Essendon played Western Bulldogs. Essendon, 15 goals, 6-96, defeated the Western Bulldogs, 9-13-67. Just let that bear in mind that Western Bulldogs, 22 scoring shots to 21 and got beaten by nearly 5 goals.
And Essendon, at the moment, sitting in 8th spot on the ladder. Can you believe that? That won't last long.
Oh, no, I'm just... If they were a racehorse, Gordy, they get rubbed out for 6 months.
But Essendon 5-1 in the last quarter, so certainly got well away from the Bulldogs in that last quarter.
That's where the game was.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Essendon, they went, they looked at Port last week and they had a chance to win, but then Port went one-on-one across the board. Rather than guarding space, go one-on-one, and Essendon didn't know what to do. So that was a big thing for me. And then they've come out last night. What did Western Bulldogs do? Didn't go one-on-one, and they got absolutely poleaxed, which surprised me a lot because Essendon aren't that good.
And 50,000 people at Marvel Stadium.
27 possessions for Jack Merritt.
Sorry?
27 possessions, Zach Merritt.
Zach Merritt, yeah. Well, he's leading from the front, and that's what they need to do. For the Essendon last night, Langford kicked 3, Jones, Stringer, Dersma 2 apiece. For the Western Bulldogs, Hugo Hagen kicked 3, Weston Norton kicked 2. Now, Western Bulldogs have got to decide what they're going to do with Aaron Norton, because he's an absolute beauty, but they're trying to play him in a different spot. He hasn't got the forward craft of a from Geelong. I've just gone blank now.
Do you need a hand here? We'll talk about Caldwell or
Davey
just... or whatever you want to mention.
And that doesn't help. Anyhow.
It'll come back.
It'll come back.
Don't worry.
Hugo Hagen kicked 3. Now, Hugo Hagen's like Jeremy Cameron from Geelong. He's got to get on his bike. And for the Western Bulldogs, they really don't know what they're doing with Norton at all, because they're not actually looking for him as a forward either. So the worst part is he's been getting looked at 10 times as the same size as one of their half-forward flankers, Riley West. And they don't let him play like a Hawkins role. That was the one I was thinking of. Right. So Hawkins actually plays at Geelong what Norton should be playing at Western Bulldogs, but Norton hasn't got the craft of a Hawkins because he hasn't got 350 games playing as a forward. So that hurts them a bit, the Western Bulldogs. And against Geelong, they're always up against it, because against Geelong, they've lost 18 out of the last 21 games against Geelong. Western Bulldogs.
Wow. Yeah. Goodness me.
And the Western Bulldogs always just don't play well against Geelong. Now, what's happened at the Western Bulldogs, Bailey Dale has now been replaced by Riley Sanders in the third term. Nick Hine got replaced by Jai Menzies at three-quarter time as the subs came on. The best for Essendon, Durham, Merritt, Dersma, Langford, Goldstein and Caldwell. Now, is Goldstein the recruit of the year? Just quietly. Todd Goldstein from North Melbourne, finished, done, Essendon one-year contract, extra in the ruck. What do you reckon?
So. Yeah, maybe so.
Sounds good.
He just adds one more little string to their bow, doesn't he, really? For the Western Bulldogs, none better than Treloar, McRae. Hugo Hagen tried hard, Richards and Liberatore. But Bontempelli, Clive Adams' favourite footballer, had his colours lowered last night, first time for a while.
Well, he had a blinder the weekend before.
Oh, absolutely. But, yeah, surprising that the Bont didn't have everything his own way.
He usually does.
We won't take a quick break, no song, just an ad break, and then we'll come up with the games coming up from today in the AFL. You're listening to the Talking Sport right here on 89.7 FM.
Station sponsor.
Oxygen saturations have dropped to 89% and breathing is laboured. I've done an ECG and she's in fast AFib. Her blood pressure was stable, but her systolic has dropped to 95. What should we do?
Every single day, nursing and midwifery graduates face situations that go beyond theory. That's why we teach our students to be creative thinkers, because creative thinking can be your superpower. ECU, creative thinkers made here. Search ECU and apply now.
Have you ever wanted to look at the stars up close? Well, now you can. Station sponsor the Gravity Discovery Centre will open a whole new world of amazement for you. Located north of Perth, just off Indian Ocean Drive, the Gravity Discovery Centre has something for everyone, with a great range of attractions. Climb the Leaning Tower, explore the Cosmology Gallery, get up close in the Biodiversity Gallery, and take in the marvels of the Milky Way at the Observatory. For more information, bookings and tickets, go to gravitycentre.com.au.
89.7 FM is your community radio station run by your community. We value your feedback as it helps us present what you like to hear. You can post your feedback online at 897fm.com.au and click feedback, or mail your feedback to PO Box 3292, Joondalup, WA 6027.
It's Saturday morning, and that means it's Talking Sport.
Yes, welcome back to Talking Sport, right in the middle of the AFL hour, or half an hour, or 40 minutes, whatever we're having. But anyhow, GWS Giants take on St Kilda this afternoon. For St Kilda, Marcus Windhager and Hugo Garcia come in. Angus Hastie is omitted. Zach Jones is omitted. And the new player is Hugo Garcia. He's making his debut, so good luck to the young man. And for GWS Giants, no changes, as you would expect after beating Gold Coast last week. And, gents, the orange tsunami is alive and well for GWS.
Are they the real thing?
Absolutely.
They certainly look as though they are, don't they?
Well, last week, Toby Green kicked a lazy 5. Hogan, as we said earlier, could have kicked 10, only kicked 4. But for St Kilda, well, Ross Lyon's got the defenders package going well at St Kilda, so you can't write them off either. But you would think, being down there today, that the GWS will just get over the line, I'd reckon.
GWS.
Well, GWS, I'll tell you what, this AFL expert's on a roll, isn't he? He got no idea what he's doing, but he's working well. So the Orange Tsunami. Next game to look at is Carlton. You'll be out there playing Adelaide. Adelaide Crows.
No wins yet.
Haven't had a win yet, no. And for Carlton, big in for Carlton today. Sam Walsh is back. Yes, he's back. Plays his 100th game. Blake Akers plays his 150th game. They've been waiting for him to get back into the team, Carlton, that's for sure. Lockie Fogarty's out suspended. Just a little sideways glance that got a week and wouldn't have hit the skin off a custard. For the Adelaide Crows, Will Hamill comes in. Lachlan Gollant comes in. And Patrick Parnell's injured. And Chris Burgess has been omitted, which in Tim Park's parlance is dropped.
Absolutely. Just.
Can we make a case for Adelaide? Because Carlton, undefeated, even though they got over the line by a strange twist of fate, we're going to call that one, last week.
Adelaide have just been disappointing, full stop, haven't they?
Yeah, young side, so they're always going to have ups and downs. But any chance, Adelaide, anyone?
No, Carlton for me.
No, Blues for me, I think.
Yeah. Carlton should win and win well. And between Harry McKay, well, I reckon Harry McKay or Charlie Curnow or both will kick 10 each, because it's going to get really ugly for Adelaide. Unfortunately for Adelaide, but hey, they're just a young side, so that's what you're going to expect. This afternoon at 5:30, we have got the match of the round. Look out, you'll be beauty. The Gold Coast Suns versus the Hawkers. Watch out, we're up on the Gold Coast. I tell you what, take 18 to 26-year-olds, pay them a lot of money and put them in the party capital of the world and expect them to play footy. Well, who was thinking of that? What have we got? We've got Jake Lukosius playing. Jake Lukosius playing his 100th game. We've got Carl Amon playing his 150th for Hawthorn. Match of the round. And I think the Gold Coast are going to beat us. But anyhow.
Gold Coast are playing the 2025 Premiers, the Hawks.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
That's what we're saying, Cambo. Yeah,
yeah. This is the dress rehearsal.
It's a little bit quick, isn't it?
No, this is the dress
rehearsal. You want to push that on a year.
Well, I was just going to say, this could be the dress rehearsal for when the Gold Coast play their first grand final in 2029 against the Hawkers, going for their 5th in a row. But now Hawthorn played well last week. They were robbed. They missed the goal in the last minute. Young fella had a chance, and with another year's experience, he'll kick that goal and we'll beat Collingwood, and then all of a sudden we'll be undefeated. So that's what I'm saying. 2025, we'll be in the grand final. For the Gold Coast, they're the number one team at the moment defending ball movement for the opposition. We'll go on a serious note now. The number five... the number one opposition scores inside 50, number one defending ball movement, they're number five, and then forward half intercepts, they're number six, because they're coaching with a different mentality, Damien Hardwick, because for the last three coaches that the Gold Coast have had, they've always been coaching on wins and losses and trying to keep their job because they've been a brand new franchise. Hardwick doesn't have to do that. So Hardwick can turn around and say, I'm here. I've got three premierships in my kit bag. You've paid me a heap of money to come here. Do it my way. And he's not coaching for his career, so he can actually put method in and all that sort of stuff. But you'll have to look in the next 4 weeks how they'll go, because they're pressing up harder now because they're defending harder. And a lot of kids that were not playing a lot of games under the previous coaches because they were defending so hard, the previous coach is saying, well, you're not going to win me a game. You're going to stop me losing a game, but you're not going to win me a game. And they hadn't played. But all of a sudden, Hardwick gets the golden ticket. So they're coaching in a different way. Having said all that, don't you worry about those Hawkers. We'll be back. But I think Gold Coast might just get us.
Tim, can I just check how many games have Hawks won this year so far?
None. Excuse me, gents. As I keep saying, it's not about wins and losses. It's how we play the game. And you don't have to have wins and losses when you're trying to win a marathon. All right? You have wins and losses when you win in a sprint. In a marathon, you just keep going the journey.
Whilst we're on about Damien Hardwick, fancy the fellow getting 3 weeks for his racial slur. And he gets a fine. So how does that work, Cameron?
Okay, so first of all, it was Alistair Clarkson.
Ah, right, okay. So, right, you've given me the answer, really.
And secondly, it wasn't a racial slur, it was homophobic.
Well, okay.
So you're on the right track, Timmy, after all that, though.
Yeah, you know, just at the end of the day. Was that 3 weeks a bit over the...
No. Unfortunately, okay. So what happened...
My old-fashioned, yes. What goes on the field stays on the field, no.
Yeah, you're a little bit old-fashioned. Well, no, not really, because basically what happened was Clarkson was provoked because the guy absolutely sniped one of his players head high where they've been cutting it out. So he's actually jumped at him and sniped him. So he was provoked. This was unprovoked.
Okay, well, we're going to the other fella.
He had to get reported and had to get suspended.
Right.
He's 3 weeks over the odds. Probably not. You would think that he probably should have got 2 weeks of fine and a suspended sentence. Because that means the first time he comes up, next time he gets extra weeks.
So sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. That's gone, has it?
Yeah, that's out of the door.
Okay.
Unfortunately, what's happened is that it's not acceptable from PC. Now,
I'm not suggesting it's acceptable, but...
The penalty that was imposed.
The penalty was about right, 3 weeks. See, every time in Aussie rules footy, this is where...
Why couldn't it have just cost him some money? Hit him where it hurts, in your back pocket.
Well, because I don't care about that, Timmy. You're 26 years of age, getting 150 grand a year. What do you care about 20 grand?
Yeah, fair enough.
I mean, 20 grand is 20 grand.
I know I'm being old-fashioned here, but I just worry about... See... You're competitive, you're out there, things happen. Should it not stay out there?
You know when you hear the term racist, when you say hear racist remarks in a game of AFL footy, you automatically think it's from a white person to an Indigenous person. Automatically.
It's one-sided anyway.
But back in the day, there was a lot of Italians and Greeks playing Aussie rules footy, copped an absolute verbal.
Absolutely.
Absolute verbal.
When I first came to Australia, I was called all sorts of unsavoury things on cricket field.
That's because you deserved them.
Yes, probably. I probably did. But the first thing you did when you went off the field was saying, what are you drinking, or whatever it might be.
Yeah, unfortunately, Timmy, it's got
no
place.
I'm old-fashioned, I know, but it worries me that we're such a soft world.
Well... Yeah, I know.
And, of course, everything gets picked up on microphones.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you know. True enough.
You know, it's
everybody
a bit like,
hears it. Yeah. Yeah. You don't want young children hearing that sort of thing.
No.
I understand all of
it's
that.
It's a bit like sandpaper. you know, back in the 40s, you could have got away with it because there was no camera.
Yeah, blown out of total proportion.
Now there was 20 cameras on the ground, so you couldn't get past it.
Okay, I'm convinced. Carry on.
So, yes, he deserved the suspension, Finlayson. He put his hand up and he's going to cop his whack.
Oh, he did. He was very good on that score.
Yeah, he's going to cop his whack.
He didn't get his hanky out and cry. He said, I've done it. I put my hand up. Yeah, I'll take the sentence. No, that was very good.
3 weeks. 3 weeks was about right. Would have loved to have seen a suspended sentence, though, as well as.
No, I think 1 week and a $20,000 fine would have been just good enough, thank you.
So, Port Adelaide, getting back to the game.
Adelaide.
No, but we didn't do our picks. Did you go Gold Coast, Cambo?
Yeah, I said Gold Coast would probably get us. Yeah, thanks very much. I'll replay that one back to you, Gordo. I've now said it twice.
I just want to make sure, Tim, that we've got it. We heard it. Mate, okay.
Twice. Moving on. So Port Adelaide playing Fremantle. Big ins for Port Adelaide. Ollie Wines and the human wrecking ball, Sam Pelpepper, come back in. Travis Spoke injured. Jeremy Finlayson, as we've just discussed, suspended. Out for Fremantle, Michael Frederick, who's injured.
It's a bit of a loss,
a bit of speed out of the side. And Neil Erasmus comes in for Fremantle.
Is this a huge, huge game for Freo?
Yeah, massive. Absolutely,
you know, a loss
massive.
And they're sort of back in the field, a bit of win, and especially after last week's debacle.
Well, they need to get credibility. It's no use getting teams to Perth at Optus and beating them up when they're 15th, 16th. You know, no one cares.
Yep.
But it's when you take the big scalps. Port Adelaide in Adelaide's a big scalp. And the thing with Port Adelaide at the moment is their midfield dominance is so good.
Yeah, but at the same time, so is Fremantle's midfield.
Yeah, the midfield's going to – this is where it's going to be won and lost. You know, you've got Horn Francis, Butters and Rosie for Port Adelaide, and you've got Sarong, Young and Fife for Fremantle. So that's where it's going to be won and lost. Difference is that Frio have Luke Jackson in the ruck, who's very mobile and is – getting one out of the pack. He's just playing out of the box at the moment. For Port Adelaide, they've got Ivan Soldo, who is an underrated ruckman, but is a combative ruckman. He just keeps running in, but he's not that quick around the ground. So I think that's where they could get a slight advantage, Fremantle, in this one. So I think Fremantle will win, but they'll only win just.
Yeah, it's a really hard one, this, but I'll just be parochial and go Fremantle.
Well, Port in sixth spot, Fremantle seventh. I think it's a test of character for Fremantle from last weekend.
It's almost, it can't be seen defining, but it's getting close to that.
I'll go Fremantle.
And the other good thing about it is that Frio get to stay in Adelaide for an extra week. Yes. So I'm sure Peter Melanaskis, because he wants the support around the board table at AFL House, would have made sure Fremantle went to the Barossa Valley and all that sort of stuff. The next game is tomorrow. Geelong play the North Melbourne Kangaroos. I tell you what, it's good to see Geelong. I've got to buy it tomorrow, let me tell you. Kangaroos, we thought they were coming. Were they coming? Maybe not. Should they be coming? They probably should be by now because they've had so many picks and all that sort of stuff, but they just can't get a good run at it. For Geelong, in comes Connor O'Sullivan. Out goes Jake Colajasny. Managed him.
Dropped.
Connor O'Sullivan's a new player making his debut. Rhys Stanley plays his 200th game. In for North Melbourne, Begoa Nyan, Tyler Sellers, Charlie Lazaro, Blake Drury. Out goes Cameron Zerha, injured. Jaden Stevenson, omitted. Kellen Dawson, injured. Liam Shields is injured. And Tyler Sellers and Bigo Nguyen come in. Tyler Sellers playing his debut game. Tom Powell playing his 50th game. Can anybody make a case for North Melbourne?
No.
Nope.
Yeah, neither can I. I tried. But Geelong, at the moment, one of the big debates for Geelong is if they earn the right to host a final, they should host a final at GMABH Stadium. Mm. Now, the reason why it's up for debate is the MCG have got a deal with the AFL that in week one or week two of the finals, if they think the AFL think the crowd's going to be over 50,000 people, has to be held at the MCG. So if Geelong qualify for a final and they're playing Carlton, for example, the AFL say that's going to be more than 50,000, you've got to play at the MCG. If Geelong, though, get to host a final and they're playing a Fremantle, where the AFL think they won't get over 50,000 and they only get 40,000, they can have it at GMHBA Stadium. Is that just me or is that just wrong?
Well, that gets weird.
Is that just rubbish?
Well, they have very similar in the NRL. So if you're playing at final, could be at Shark Park, capacity crowd. Well, the decision can be made if they think they're going to get more than the crowd. The game, ground can hold. They can move that.
Can they?
Yes, they can.
Jeepers.
To a bigger venue. But then that's at the disadvantage of not having your home ground advantage.
Yeah, so that's I don't like it particularly.
But I don't like it.
I don't think it's rubbish. No. I couldn't believe that when I read that. And I thought, oh, that's just rubbish. Mm. But Geelong for me, boy, about length of the straight. Timmy, you're going?
I'm going Geelong.
Geelong. Yep. Before we come up to the last game of the round, two teams that will win this week will be Collingwood and Sydney because they had the bye.
Exactly.
And I tell you what, the way Collingwood played that last quarter last week, they were looking for the bye. Don't you worry about that.
Yeah, I'd have to agree.
Was that against Hawthorn?
Yeah, it was. Moving on. Are we going back to the NRL segment again for the West Tigers or what?
We'll just keep putting it into the
Hawks. We'll just keep putting it on the Hawks. That'd be all right. And in the last game of the round, we have at Optus Stadium, West Coast take on Richmond.
Is this the one?
Out for, well, I'll go through the ins and outs first. Out for Richmond, Jack Ross, who's injured. Tim Taranto, who's injured. So there he goes half their midfield. In comes Liam Baker and Hugo Ralph-Smith. In for West Coast, Tyler Brockman comes back in and out goes Locke Rawlinson. I tell you what, just quietly, for all you West Coast fans who've been doing it tough for a year and a half, just quietly, I reckon they've got half a chance here, West Coast. For Richmond, they've now got an injury list that you could jump a stick over, Ben. They happen to be all their prime movers. So you've got Tim Taranto out. You've got their forwards out. You've got half their back line out. I reckon West Coast got half a chance here. All of a sudden, West Coast getting up the ground. You can see that they're playing a different style. You've also, our Harley Reid is taking it by the scruff of the neck. The rebuild has started. The rebuild has started.
The only issue is, can they play four quarters? And if they do, they'll win.
Well, that's the other thing, though, but they're playing against a Richmond team that can't play four quarters either.
Yeah, true enough, yeah.
So, for West Coast, they've had 3 years of compromised drafts because when they got Tim Kelly, they sold the farm for 3 years. And then in round four, 2022, they were the fourth oldest list in the AFL. In round four, 2023, they had the seventh youngest list. And in round four, 2024, they had the fourth youngest list. So the rebuild is started.
Yep.
They've still got Elliot Yeo playing good footy. They've still got Jeremy McGovern playing good footy. They've finally worked out Liam Duggan. As much as you love the kid and he's a great player, he can't play on the wing. He's got to go to halfback and be the general. So we've got that covered off. You've got Harley Reid come in. You've started to get some stuff from Josh Rotham, Tom Barras. They're still around. Tim Kelly's still trying his best. The hardest part is they've got to do something with their forward line. Because at the moment you've got Jamie Cripps, Jack Darling, Jack Petrucelli and Jake Waterman.
Jack Darling on his last chance here.
He's not getting a kick. That's the problem. They've got to get some forward half pressure. Now, Jamie Cripps will run all day and give you pressure, but they've got to get more out of Jack Williams and Jack Petrucelli and Jake Waterman to put some pressure on in the forward line to keep the ball in there and give them half a chance. For Richmond, well, they've still got Shea Bolton, they've still got Dustin Martin, they've still got Maurice Rioli and Jack Graham. Marlon Pickett comes back. They've still got Nick Vlosten, who's taken the best forward from the opposition. But if they're ever going to have a chance of getting a scalpie at West Coast, it's this week, and I'm picking them. West Coast to win.
Let's be parochial, so am I.
West Coast.
Taking West Coast.
We've just put the mocker on them.
There you go. They're done now.
Commentator's curse.
Yeah. They're done now. We've done them for death. Oh, dear me. Anyhow, so for all you West Coast fans, don't despair. There's light at the end of the tunnel. It could be a train for the next year or so, but there is light at the end of the tunnel. We're going off for a quick sponsors break and a song from the Gordon Allen Collection. And what song we got this time, Gordo?
Dire Straits, Walk of Life.
Oh, he should have played Money for Nothing, because then we could have got Max Wilson. But anyhow.
Could go to Big Trev Tips.
Oh, okay. Good. No, we get lots of tips from that. when we come back, we're going to have Stephen Platt with the round ball game to finish off talking sport this morning.
Monday Sports Mix from 6 to 8 p.m. every Monday evening on 89.7 FM with Gordon Allen and the team. Hear all the latest rugby league news, scores, result updates, and gossip in the rugby league segment from 6 to 7 p.m. And then it's all about junior sport from 7 to 8 p.m. each and every Monday night. Monday Sports Mix, the best mix of sport with Gordon Allen and the team here on 89.7 FM.
The Community File.
Score goals with Sterling Leisure Centre's indoor sports. Netball, basketball and soccer for children and adults are now on at Sterling Leisure Centre's Hammersley, Mirrabooka and Scarborough. Visit sterling.wa.gov.au/leisurecentres to find out more.
Promote your non-profit organisation or community group and it's free. Head to our website at 897fm.com.au.
The City of Wanneroo, corporate sponsor, proudly supporting 89.7 FM.
Make sure you check out the City of Wanneroo's Beach to Bush Arts Festival, which kicks off on the 27th of May. Activating local spaces from Two Rocks to Garraween, this engaging festival will feature a smorgasbord of art, including performances, photography and craft. To find out what's on near you and other free events, head to wanneroo.wa.gov.au/feature-events.
Proudly brought to you by 89.7 FM.
Nearly 95% of Aussie 5-year-olds are now fully vaccinated, but we need to do more to protect all our kids.
Immunisation saves lives. Get the facts.
Visit the website. Authorised by the Australian Government, Canberra.
On 89.7, Talking Sport, from 8 to 11am Saturdays.
Dedication.
It's Saturday morning, and that means it's Talking Sport.
Yes, welcome back to Talking Sport. Cambo in the hot seat because our other illustrious leaders are away. Clive Adams feeling a bit crook. Max Wilson put the nose in the trough. But to finish us off in this segment, we have got Stephen Platt on the line. Good morning, Steve.
At least we've got one expert.
Yes, good morning. How are we?
Morning. Oh,
you're very well, Steve. Hey, Steve. Can we deduct some points off Arsenal? Because everybody else is getting points deducted over in the EPL.
Yes, points deductions are a big thing at the moment in the Premier League, and they're here to stay. Is what the message is being sent out. Basically, the Premier League has decided to actually apply penalties to the rules they've set up for, you know, the first time in about 2 decades.
It is in England, Stephen, and they didn't want to rush into it.
Indeed, yeah. Well, basically, this is the profit and sustainability rules. The Premier League has basically said that clubs that are breaking these rules can expect to continue to be sanctioned for points deductions. And I think this is a good thing in the sense of there being consistent in terms of those punishments. Now, at the moment, they're being consistent with clubs lower down the table. Obviously, here's the weekly mention of Manchester City's 115 charges against them, but it's not just City as well. There are clubs at the top end that have concerns about their financial management. Tottenham have been We don't have anything official on Tottenham yet, but Tottenham, we know, are a club that is concerned, particularly because they actually lost close to £90 million in the last year, which is getting close to the border of acceptable losses. Right.
They have acceptable losses, Stephen?
Well, yeah, you're allowed to lose a certain amount of money. You know, they're not completely strict in that sense. You know, sometimes you go out and you sign a massive player and it doesn't work and you end up not winning a competition, or, you know, various things can happen. I mean, a lot of Everton's issues, Everton are claiming, is because of the war in Ukraine. One of their previous biggest backers was a Russian oligarch who had connections to Vladimir Putin. And when the war in Ukraine started and British businesses and the British government said you can't be doing business with Russia because of sanctions, that meant that Usmanov, who was one of Everton's big investors, had to pull out all of his money. And lo and behold, we're less than 2 years on from that, and now Everton are in financial difficulties and have had another 2 points deducted from them for other financial irregularities. So it is something that is a bit beyond the control of the clubs in a certain respect. I think the Premier League being consistent about this, though, means that Premier League clubs know they have to get their financial houses in order, because they are going to be docked points. It could cost them their Premier League status. You know, Everton are back to, I think, minus 8 points now with this second point deduction. Obviously, Nottingham Forest have been deducted 4 points.
Yep.
And just the other day, Sheffield United, who don't have that many points to be docked to begin with, they've not been docked points for this season because their charges are relating to financial offences that occurred in the Championship. If, and let's face it, when Sheffield United are relegated to the Championship at the end of this season, they'll start next season on minus 2 points. Yeah, these are things which are happening. These punishments are coming into place. And obviously, clubs around the Premier League will be looking slightly concerned. Probably not clubs like Brighton, let's be fair. Brighton have been pretty well run financially. They've done well to cut their cloth accordingly and have made record profits from good business management. But
heard anything, Stephen, about Arsenal? Because they could get docked some points. That would help.
Help Liverpool.
I think you're probably more likely to see Liverpool get docked in this case. But
you've just put a knife through my heart, Stephen.
I will say Arsenal, Liverpool, and Manchester United, in terms of those big clubs, are probably clubs who are unlikely to face any points deductions for financial irregularity because they have always been able to generate their own money pretty successfully. Tottenham, there's been some concern because of this record loss that they've had in the last month or so that it was announced, but maybe not major concerns. I think your bigger concerns would be Chelsea and Manchester City, the nouveau riche, as it were, because it's about spending beyond the means that your club can generate, not the money that your owner can put in. That's why Everton are in the situation that they're in, also because they're building a new stadium, which is significant outlay. So, it'll be interesting to see how it goes. or whether or not this is a law that will only punish those clubs down the bottom end of the table.
Let's just look at the top then, Steve. How many games to go for these three?
Seven games left.
Seven games. And given the fixtures they've got, who do you fancy?
Well, I was surprised Liverpool dropped points last week against Manchester United. I did think Liverpool
were going to
win.
So was I.
And to be honest, after the first half, I don't know how they didn't. I'll tell you how. United decided to save two of the best goals they'll ever score. For
yeah,
that
they
test,
did,
which
didn't
is,
they?
Obviously rather annoying, but I mean, from a United fans' perspective, pretty brilliant. But it was drop points for Liverpool. They are at home to Crystal Palace tomorrow, which I would suggest is going to be them getting back to 3 points and a win. Obviously, Manchester City are in action earlier. They're at home against Luton Town. Should be 3 points for them. Arsenal have got the trickiest fixture. They're at home, but it is against Aston Villa, a side who haven't been in great form lately, but are still fifth. They are still a side that are probably going to get Champions League football, which is fantastic for them. And they do present probably the most difficult fixture going forward. I really do hope Arsenal get over the line, simply because they've not won the title in 20 years. The other two have won it in the last 5 years.
Yep.
Like, it just feels like it would be nice if Arsenal did win it. But at the same time, I do think Arsenal have got maybe the trickiest run in. They've still got to go away to Tottenham in a few weeks' time. They're playing Chelsea, who you just don't know what Chelsea side's going to turn up. They're away to Manchester United very late in the season, and who knows what United side are going to turn up as well. Whereas for City and Liverpool, because they have been here more recently, because they have been playing quite well, it does feel as though we may actually know who is going to be the champion maybe a week or two out. Liverpool do still have to go to Aston Villa and play Tottenham, which is a tricky one for them. Looking ahead, it's hard to rule out Manchester City, to be perfectly honest. They do have the strongest squad. They do have incredible depth. And they don't really have any big games left over. They're, you know, away at Brighton could be a banana skin. Obviously, away at Nottingham Forest, everyone shakes in fear when it comes to that fixture. There's a lot of games that, yeah, you're looking at and going, yeah, City will probably win most, if not all of them. So for Arsenal and Liverpool now, they do have to keep winning every game. I think even dropping points in one game might be enough for City to claim it. I don't actually see City dropping points in the Premier League for the rest of the season there.
And at the other end of the scale, Stephen, we've got Everton, Nottingham, Luton, Burnley and Sheffield United. And three of those will have to drop. Who do you think?
Two of them are already gone.
Already gone.
And Luton, yeah, Luton could wriggle out.
Luton have got a chance, obviously, away at City today. Probably not going to get the points today. But, I mean, obviously, we don't know where points deductions are coming from. Everton could lose yet more points to a points deduction. It's just whether or not it's applied to this season or next season remains to be seen. But Brentford have not been in particularly great form. They have picked up three draws in their last three matches, so they are getting a couple of points. But Brentford and Crystal Palace, I wouldn't say, are out of it. You'd still say Luton are the favourites to go down simply because they are the squad with the least Premier League experience. They are currently in the relegation zone. They have the worst goal difference of those.
They've battled
sides.
Well, though, Steve, haven't they? You know, you sort of feel sorry for them a bit, or I do.
Look, they've not disgraced themselves. There was concern that because they were an unexpected promotion, they might be like the Derby County side of 2007-2008 that only got 11 points for the whole season. So, you know, there were concerns that Luton might just be the bottom team getting bullied every week, but that's Sheffield United, it turns out.
Yes.
Luton have done incredibly well. You know, they've gotten 6 wins in 32 games. It's not a terribly huge amount, but it's only one less than Forest, Brentford and Crystal Palace from a similar amount of games. They've actually won half the games that Chelsea have won, for example. Chelsea have only won 12 games this season. So it's one of those things where you look at it and you go, yeah, they're probably not good enough to stay in the Premier League, but with the points deductions, they've been given a chance, because if we hadn't had these points deductions, they would be 4 points from safety behind Brentford and Forest, who'd both be on 29. So it's given them a real fighting chance. And if they do stay up, obviously fantastic and well done to them, but points deductions absolutely will have played their part in keeping Luton Town up.
Yep. And Sheffield United and Burnley just done, aren't they?
They're done.
They've been done for a while.
Look, it's mathematically possible, but they would have to win more games than they've won all season in the final six or seven games that they have. So they're both preparing for life in the Championship next season. So we'll see how... It's just a question of who's going to join them. It's probably going to be Luton. But Forest and Everton do need to pick up some wins just to make sure that it isn't them, basically.
And the ones battling in the Championship League, it's been a week of losses for a couple of those teams.
Yeah, it's almost as though they've looked at this Premier League and gone, actually, why do we want to go up there?
Yeah,
we lose points without going on the field. It's very disappointing. But some big upset defeats for the sides at the top. Leicester City have actually, lost their last two games, and yet they're still top of the Championship, which is pretty good going. In fact, the top three sides have all failed to win their last two games each, which means that we have Leicester and Ipswich both on 88 points, Leeds United on 87, with two of those sides going up automatically. Leeds, despite being a point behind the other two, have the best goal difference, so they have got a chance. Southampton technically could pull themselves into that race if they won their next two games in hand that they have. But
it's
we'll
a bit
have
of a haul, though, isn't it?
It really is. And, of course, Leicester losing last night to Plymouth Argyle was a real surprise, considering Plymouth are 16th. Mm. Leeds are at home to Blackburn. They'll be hoping that Blackburn, who've also been struggling this season, that's a game Leeds should win. Yep. And if they do win, they'll jump into the top two temporarily. Ipswich, who I think are the side that have been the most brilliant to watch this season. They've really done well under Kieran McKenna, the former Manchester United coach who has come in and turned them around. He'll be taking on another former United man in Michael Carrick's Middlesbrough, who are looking for points to try and get into the top six in the playoffs. So that could be the game of the round in the Championship.
Yeah, you don't really want to get in that playoff if you're in third place, do you? It's dangerous.
No, you'd be the favourites. You know, there's no doubt that those three sides, Leicester, Ipswich and Leeds, have been better than the likes of Southampton, West Brom, Norwich, Coventry, Preston, who they'd likely be facing off. But you'd just rather go up automatically get it done.
Yep.
Good on you, Stephen. We have to get off because the news people are bashing down the doors as per normal. But thanks for your time, Stephen. We'll talk to you again next week.
Great, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
Okay. Cheers.
Good on you, Steve. Stephen Platt there with the round ball game to finish us off talking sport. Well, there you go, gents. 3 hours went like a heartbeat. As quick as you like. Thanks to Gordon Allen and Tim Park for joining me, Cambo, in the studio for talking sport this morning.
Thank you. Good job.
Well done, Cambo.
I come off the bench every now and again. Don't forget to keep that dial on 89.7 FM for all the great shows coming up this week. Gordo, Monday night.
Sports Mix.
Six to eight. Yep, on the Sports Mix Monday nights.
Cambo's Free for All on Friday next week.
Friday, 12 till 3. And don't forget, of course, we've got the outside broadcast tomorrow morning.
Live here, ECU.
Absolutely. Yeah, 10 till 3. I'll be on it. You'll be on it. Tim will be resting, as per normal.
Managed.
Dropped.
You've been listening to Talking Sport right here on 89.7 FM. Thanks for your company, and we'll speak to you, God willing, during the week.
Stay in the loop with what's happening in your community. Visit station sponsor City of Joondalup's website at joondalup.wa.gov.au and subscribe to an e-newsletter. You'll find everything you need to know about community, events, updates and job vacancies. Register today for this free service.
Have you ever wanted to look at the stars up close? Well, now you can. Station sponsor the Gravity Discovery Centre will open a whole new world of amazement for you. Located north of Perth, just off Indian Ocean Drive, the Gravity Discovery Centre has something for everyone, with a great range of attractions. Climb the Leaning Tower, explore the Cosmology Gallery, get up close in the Biodiversity Gallery, and take in the marvels of the Milky Way at the Observatory. For more information, bookings and tickets, go to gravitycentre.com.au.
The Community File.
Improve your reading and writing. Read Right Now is a volunteer program that offers free literacy tutoring.